NIC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 32 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the NHL on ABC this Saturday afternoon. Fire investigators continue to sift through the ashes of a house fire at Ogden and 23rd. Fire crews arrived on scene at 8:30 this morning and found the house fully engulfed. One person was found dead at the scene. The suspect in the blaze was arrested at 22nd and Race about an hour later at another fire. One victim there was transported to University Hospital suffering from burns. Police have restricted traffic in the area as investigators are going through the scene. Red Cross is assisting one adult and two children. The U.S. Army is planning to build a military museum at Fort Carson. The Army, in cooperation with a local historic group, unveiled the plans today. The proposal calls for a 15,000-square-foot facility separated into three wings. The Mountain Post Historical Center would be open to the public and would feature the history of Fort Carson, the 7th Infantry Division, and the 3rd Armored Cavalry. The cost is expected to be between $5 and $6 million. It's expected to be funded with grants and donations. Hundreds of cadets and college students are attending the Air Force Academy's 11th Annual Character and Leadership Symposium. Last year's symposium was overshadowed by the Academy's sexual assault scandal. One of the speakers at this year's event was college football coach Bill Yost. Yost, whose story was made into the movie Remember the Titans, spoke about the importance of dealing with change and fairness. Following the speech, the cadets and students broke into discussion groups. Cadet First Class Brian Kirchner says one statement about fairness meant a lot to him.
One of his great quotes that I took away was that you don't have to treat everyone equally, you have to treat everyone fairly. And the implication was that you need to get to know the people underneath you.
Many of the cadets say the symposium is a great way to learn from successful leaders. That symposium wraps up tonight. Officials want you to know about an old scam with a new twist. You've heard about counterfeit checks. Now watch out for counterfeit cashier's checks. KCNC News 4 uncovered a scam using cashier's checks worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Investigators say the scammers offer to buy something the victim has for sale for thousands more than the asking price. The victim is asked to cash the check and then wire the balance back to the criminal. In Chad Wach's case, he was selling his SUV for $9,000. He received numerous emails offering to buy the SUV for $13,000 to $15,000. The email asked Wach to cash the check and wire the extra money back to the buyer. Unfortunately, the cashier's checks are counterfeit, and ultimately the victim gets stuck with the burden of paying for the counterfeit check. Federal agents say the checks look very real and suggest any time you get a check, you should check with the issuing bank to make sure it's valid before closing the deal and depositing that check. Denver City offices are closed today as part of five scheduled furlough days the city plans for this year. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper says the closures will save the city about $5 million and help the city avoid layoffs of city employees. Remember, too, that city offices will be closed Monday for President's Day. Retired General Wesley Clark has endorsed Democratic frontrunner John Kerry for president.
As I learned to do in my years of service, I want to say, as we come to the Navy, we say,
can you hear me?
Can you hear me? To come aboard. The Army's here.
Clark dropped out of the race a few days ago. At a rally in Madison, Wisconsin, Clark asked his supporters to back Kerry and take back the White House for its rightful owner, the American people. The Army says a National Guardsman was plotting to pass military secrets to Al-Qaeda. Specialist Ryan Anderson was busted yesterday in a sting conducted by the Army, FBI, and Justice Department. He's being detained at Fort Lewis, Washington, where his unit is stationed. The 26-year-old Anderson reportedly is a converted Muslim. He was slated for deployment to Iraq this summer. The government's effort to prove that Martha Stewart committed securities fraud was dealt a blow today at the homemaking Mavens trial in New York. Scott Salato has the story.
It's a setback for the government in the case against the domestic diva. The judge today ruling that certain expert testimony will be barred from the trial. That could make it more difficult for prosecutors to prove the top count in the indictment, the crime of securities fraud, which carries a maximum of 10 years behind bars. It's also a move that could keep Martha off the witness stand. Scott Salato, New York.
With 2 hours left in today's trading session, stocks are lower. The Dow is down nearly 70 points. The NASDAQ off 19. The S&P 500 down almost 7. In sports, no game for the Colorado Avalanche tonight as they come off their 4-0 shutout of the St. Louis Blues last night. Avs will be in Detroit tomorrow afternoon to play the Red Wings. Denver Nuggets are off as well, this time for the NBA All-Star break. Nuggets will get back to work Tuesday against the Philadelphia 76ers at the Pepsi Center. Avs fans, watch the NHL on ABC Saturday at 1. one. It's the most ferocious rivalry in sports. The Detroit Red Wings and Colorado Avalanche face off, NHL's top rivals, only on ABC Saturday at 1. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
So you've tried every diet out there. Well, that's something considering there's over 17,000 diets on the market to choose from. Low-carb diets, low-fat diets, high-protein diets. If you're one of the 127 million overweight Americans, you've probably tried one or all of these diets, but without lasting success. That's where Monarch Health Sciences can get you fit for life with a new and complete solution to overall health. The Monarch Forever Fit program is based on solid science in the fields of nutrition, exercise, physiology, and psychology. No magic pills here. The program was created by some of the world's leading experts in weight management, world-renowned doctors, Olympic athletes, exercise physiologists, and psychologists. Join this winning team. Call now, 720-981-4622. Whether it's to lose weight or become part of the Monarch Health Sciences business, call 720-981-4622 for your free Forever Fit information kit. That number again is 720-981-4622 or www.monarchhs.com/foreverfit.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Pep Boys and a couple problems around the metro area. Southbound I-25 at Colorado. Another problem on I-25, unknown direction at 58. Gale and Lincoln, Zuni, and Florida. Hurry into Pep Boys where an express Proline oil change is just $11.88. Right, $11.88 and it's done in 30 minutes or less or it's free. See store for details. Pep Boys, they're car people. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear the anti-rush Enid Goldstein next on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Surface high pressure over our area, giving us lots of sun today. Our high, 43. Later on tonight, nice and clear, down to 22. And tomorrow, keeping the sun and staying in the 40s. 48 for tomorrow, but Sunday, partly cloudy at the start, then turning mostly cloudy with isolated snow showers in the afternoon. Cooler, 36. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy skies now, 32 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours till 3 o'clock. We're coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month from the Denver Press Club. We always have a theme, and since tomorrow is the day dedicated to the most commercial aspects of love, we are dedicating ourselves today to Valentine's Day. We have lots of people who are going to join us today. We have authors. We're going to have a stripper from the Diamond Cabaret. We will have a tantric sex therapist. We'll be talking chocolate. We'll be talking with Dave McGoya from the Denver Post. We're going to be talking with Jack Cox from the Denver Post. We'll be talking to Anna Menendez, who's an author having written a book called Loving Che. But right now, we're talking to two of my favorite people, the Lendorfs. Betsy Lendorf is a reporter for the Rocky Mountain News, and you see her work most prominently on Saturday mornings. It's the first thing I turn to when the paper's delivered to me on Saturday mornings. I love to read what you write, because you're always writing about home decor, and yes, last week you did a piece on this 600 or so square foot cottage that a woman furnished marvelously and creatively with flea market buys, and her marvelous beloved husband, John Lendorf, dining critic for the Rocky Mountain News. Welcome, both of you.
Hi, Enid.
We have a lot of Lendorfs here today, more than we usually have in one place.
Yes, but the only question I have for you is how do we talk about decor when there's going to be a stripper on later? So,
well, that's his own kind of decor. Can we hear Betsy's microphone? Is she up a little bit? Because it sounds a little bit not up enough. Okay, talk right
now. Great, I'm right
there
here.
You are. You're
you
with
got
us
it.
Now.
Okay.
let's start. If you don't mind, Betsy, with John, because one of the things that everybody wants to know, where to eat, where's a romantic place to book, where should we go for Valentine's Day?
Well, you know, Enid, first off...
You're giving me that look, John.
yes, it's that look that you can't see on the radio, but it says, especially to you guys out there, if you haven't made your reservations already for tomorrow, you're pretty much out of luck. That's not to say that there aren't restaurants where you could get a reservation, but you just set yourself down and go through the phone book. And
well, where would you recommend, first of all, if it were possible to get a recommendation, what would be some of the places you'd recommend, assuming in a perfect world you could get in?
Okay. Even though it seldom is perfect. But just to finish, you know, I think of Valentine's Day the same way I think about St. Patrick's Day. You know, I like to leave it to the amateurs and then, you know, go out some other time to eat and drink.
Well, see, where I take exception with you when you said it's too late now to book the nicer places or the places that would come to mind first for Valentine's Day, I view Valentine's Day more like New Year's Eve. It's amateur's night out.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
what I mean.
It would be good to stay away from these places where they give you party hats and hearts and you know, a condom tucked in with your napkin. I think it's fun to go to an offbeat place. If you haven't made a reservation, I think the most romantic thing, romantic part of the evening is a person you're having dinner with.
Well, it's
or your friends if you don't have a hot date, and to go somewhere that's unusual and not crazy and commercial on Valentine's Day would be my first choice.
Well, so take some fine china.
You know, anywhere I eat with my lovely wife.
And she is lovely now, a blonde, of course.
Whether it's a pizza joint or the finest restaurant in town, it's, you know, the romance is in the person, not in the place. But if I had my druthers, there's a few places that are really romantic. There's the Tanta Louise out on Colfax.
Tantric Louise?
Tantric Louise. Many.
Oh, yes, we've heard about that.
Many proposals have been made there. And
Some indecent, I imagine.
I'm not sure how many things have been consummated there, but I know.
But they have consommé. So if one thing doesn't get consummated, you can always go to the consommé.
Have a little soup and hope for the best. Another fabulous place, just because of the view and the service and everything else, is the Flagstaff House, which sits on the side of a mountain above Boulder and looks out, and great service and wine and all that. So that's that kind of romantic place.
What if you're on a budget, John?
If you're on a budget, there's a place down on South Broadway in the Antiques neighborhood there called Cafe Ciro.
C-I-R-O?
C-E-R-O.
C-E-R-O, okay.
It's tucked back. It's in one of the last houses on Broadway. And it's got a lot of cute little nooks and crannies where you can cuddle up and have some nice Italian-American food. And the other thing is, you know, people have a nasty habit of making more than one reservation for Valentine's Day and then either not showing up or bailing. So one thing you can do is, you know,
call at the last minute?
You know, call Mizuna, call Luca d'Italia, and at 5 o'clock tomorrow. And you might be surprised where you can get in. At Tamayo, at Adega, at Vega.
And sometimes restaurants allow some time, they allow for walk-ins too, don't they? They don't book, they allow a certain number of walk-ins, or not on a night like Valentine's
Day? On a night like Valentine's Day, where it's a fixed price meal and seatings, they take your credit card number and.
Oh, they do when you make the reservation?
For the good places, sure.
Oh, really?
Because people are.
So much for romance.
Well, yeah.
The cash register is ringing.
Well. It guarantees that there won't be an empty table sitting there on a night when it should be full. People are terrible diners. They're not respectful. You know, that's a horrible thing to do.
Yeah, because it's a restaurant. They only have so many tables. It's really very rude to book a reservation and then not call to cancel if that's the case. Are we looking at your wedding rings?
Oh, yes, we are.
Yes. Is there some reason for that?
Well, my bride just got a diamond after 10 years of marriage. She finally got her diamond. It's a Colorado diamond, a very rare thing.
Is it? Really?
Yeah, it's mine in Colorado up near the border.
Oh,
the
that's
border.
Lovely.
And I actually got to go to the mine. I was working on a story about diamonds and gemstones and went to the mine and saw them mining diamonds. And it's my understanding maybe the mine is closed down right now, but there are a few of these left, and they're marvelous. They're just marvelous.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So I enjoy it every day.
Talk to me about, you're writing about homes and, in a way, lifestyle.
Right.
Talk to me about your work, your beat, what makes for a romantic home. I mean, we know the clichés. What are the clichés for a romantic bedroom? It used to be a waterbed. It used to be something that looks like a Las Vegas extravaganza that you expect to see Mae West, who nobody knows who that is anymore, bouncing around on, doing like a trampoline.
There are a couple things that make a bedroom wonderful, and one is imagination and creativity, is doing something that you really like. Instead of trying to copy what a magazine has, you start thinking about your favorite colors, your favorite textures, what makes you comfortable, what makes you happy. And it's really important, I think, to indulge ourselves from time to time, to surround ourselves with the things we like. And I have a story coming out in tomorrow's paper, Homefront, about a couple whose bedroom's going to be on has been on HGTV and is going to be back on HGTV tomorrow at 3 o'clock. But they created a bedroom that, you know, there's no frills in there. The husband said that, you know, lace makes him nervous. Lots of stuff. Clutter makes him nervous.
You know, you see these headlines in the tabloids. Man murders wife, can't stand her hairdo.
Yeah.
So lace, I mean, this is an opportunity to strangle somebody.
Yeah, it can be. Clutter, he likes both of them, like fresh air, blue sky. And they created an 1,100-square-foot bedroom in the upper reaches of their home. It's about a 4-story home on 6th Avenue. It has a private outdoor garden where they can go and enjoy plants and trees. They have a seating area off the bedroom. Between the seating area and the bed is a fireplace that you can see from three sides. And the thing I loved when I heard about this, the thing I really loved about the description of this bedroom was that it had a wet bar. And I said, I don't know what it is about me as a woman, but they don't have to go downstairs in the morning to get their coffee. They make it right there. In the evening, they just go up to that bedroom, and they open a bottle of wine and just enjoy each other's
company.
Is
there a TV set in that bedroom?
There is. There are three plasma screens. And the husband did state that, you know, yes, indeed, they do have the plasma. Screen.
You better call that tantric sex therapist in there with the three plasma. He needs an injection of plasma.
You know, it depends what you show on the plasma.
That's true.
They also have a wonderful bathroom, and outside those windows are some tall spruce. They're right in among the treetops with the usual jetted tub and things like that. But it's, you know, John, you and I, we should just rent their house.
Well, but these are, if you're just tuning in, my guest, Betsy Lendorf, who is a reporter for the Rocky Mountain News, and her husband, John Lendorf, who is, we won't describe what he looks like. He's sitting here behind a menu, as you see him in the newspaper, but he's a dining critic for the Rocky Mountain News. They are husband and wife, and we're talking about romantic decors, home decors, and we're talking about restaurants for Valentine's Day and other occasions. I loved your piece last week because if you have unlimited money, or if you can do a big budget renovation, or money's not an object, that's one thing. But the person you talked about last week, I thought was interesting. She lived in a larger house. She'd had some financial reverses. We're in a time now when a lot of people don't have jobs, or they are on tight budgets. And what she did is she sold her house, and she got a small cottage that looked rather unprepossessing, I imagine, when she first moved into it, and she exercised major imagination and creativity in lieu of big bucks to take these flea market finds and describe it and turn it into a wonderful, the pictures were just really engaging.
Yeah, that goes back to that creativity and imagination and surrounding yourself with what you like. And what she did in that home is she used garage sale finds, she used bed skirts from the Goodwill, and she painted a lot of the furnishings with white paint to make them look uniform, or she covered the sofas. Instead of replacing worn upholstery, she slip-covered them with cotton painter's drop cloth.
Right, which is a great idea.
Then she went up to East Colfax and got a couple of guys off the street. They came down and tore a low ceiling out of her living room to give that place some height and space and air. She just opened it up. She painted a lot of surfaces with white. Again, surrounding herself with things that she really knew that she liked, you know, very inexpensively.
And John, I want to talk to you about two of your juicier reviews that I have loved. Both of them giving the restaurants a D or a D minus.
Oh.
I mean, you got to hit that. This is the bottom of the barrel. One of them was the Palm, which all the power brokers in town apparently like to gather at, and the food is, in your view, secondary. It sounds like
they all moved over here to eat. You can see them right behind us.
Yeah, they're all here at the Denver Press Club, which is where everybody who's anybody should be at this very second. And Josefina's in Larimer Square. Tell us, reprise that review for listeners who may have missed that. It was so juicy, I clipped it. And I said, oh, this is poor Josefina's.
Well, I went I want to say I went there three times, not once, not twice, but three times. And the third time when we went there for dinner, it was monumental in its horribleness. Everything that could be wrong about a dining experience happened to us in a two-hour period.
Give me some highlights.
We asked for the wine list, and the waitress said, "You want red or white?"
Did you say that's wine without the H? We will serve no wine before it's
time. I said, "We'd like a wine list." And she said, "Well, we don't have one." And I said, "Oh, come on." And she said, "Well, I'll try to find one." And it went on like that.
It went downhill from there.
She didn't remember where who had which entree. And we were left to sit there for quite a long time without any kind of service at all. And it was one thing after another, so bad that we started writing it down on the table paper so we wouldn't forget the details. And it was amazing. And the food wasn't good.
Oh, well, what a surprise.
You know, things that were supposed to have garlic in them didn't have garlic in them. And the worst eggplant parmesan I've ever had in my life.
And did anybody call you after this review? Well, you gave it a D-?
Lowest grade I've ever given any restaurant.
A D-?
Yeah. I mean, the smoke, the beer smell, the whole deal was, I'm wondering, you know, they've replaced all the other restaurants in Larimer Square for the most part.
Uh-huh.
You know, why is that still there?
And one of the original restaurants.
Oh, yeah, it's been there forever. And there's a lot of great Italian-American restaurants in Denver, you know? I mean, it doesn't make sense. But in any case, I've never gotten a response like I have for Josefina's. I expected to be creamed by all the people that cram into Josefina's every night when I drive by there. They're going, well, somebody must really like it, but I think it's... There's 100,000 people that go there once every 10 years or something, and they like it enough to do that.
What was the response?
Oh, it was incredible. Emails and calls.
And they were what, negative or positive? Or they were excoriating you?
There was one person who emailed from out of town saying that they had visited and had a nice meal there. All the other calls, all the other emails, all the other people that came up to me said, "Oh, yeah, I always thought that was really bad, and we had it." And most of them...
But they keep going back.
No, most of them had a worse time than I did.
What does it take to get an actual F? Have you ever given a restaurant an actual F?
I'm not allowed to give out Fs. They said, well, they would have to poison you. And I said,
and it's too
oh,
late for the
swell. So, no, we didn't.
But D-.
D-.
Is
as good as an F.
He survived, yeah. But barely. They need to have the paramedics standing by there.
No Fs, no A pluses.
What's the best dining experience you can recall having? Is there one that really stands out in Denver, or are there many good ones?
There's many good ones for different reasons, and that's why it's never an easy answer, you know, what's the best restaurant in Denver. It really depends. It's like the Zen koan. Who's asking?
Right.
You know, what do you like? What makes you happy? And I'll tell you the best restaurant for you. But, you know, I've had meals at Luca d'Italia, Frank Bonanno's place. And it was ecstatic.
Really? Yeah. Now, I ate there once, and I'm afraid I didn't have your experience. It was okay. But maybe maybe my palate is jaded. I just got back from Venice, and the food was not wonderful. There were a couple of exceptions. There were, we went to some restaurants where there were some couple of really good dishes in a sea of just okay. But the best places were the Cicchetti places, like tapas, the bar food, where you get, you know, those were much better.
I mean, I've had transcendental flavor moments, like when we ate on New Year's Eve at New Saigon.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, where's New Saigon?
That's one of those places
on Federal?
On Federal. And it was, you know, wild flavors and textures and crunchiness and heat, and it was just, you know, it had nothing to do with the ambiance, which is nothing special.
Which is almost non-existent, but
right.
The food is so charming.
Well, I want to tell you, you sent me to one of these places. I read your review of, what's it called, Ocean Seafood?
Oh, yeah.
It was fabulous. And, you know, you're sitting around in your fluorescent lights, but the food was marvelous. And I took your review with me. I went with a friend, and I ordered all the things that you said were good.
Did you get the sea cucumber?
No, that one I didn't get. I don't think we got the CBD.
You know, that's supposed to be an aphrodisiac.
It is?
Yeah.
I better go back. My guests are John and Betsy Lendar from the Rocky Mountain News. Betsy is a reporter covering a lot of home and design issues. John is the dining critic. More as we continue. You're listening to the fabulous Friday, and we hope, romantic edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get rid of high monthly house payments. Take advantage of some of the best interest rates in history, as low as 3.25%. Then call Western State Mortgage at 303-754-4911 and get a loan package custom tailored for your individual needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad. If they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive, so start your 2004 off right and call them now at 303-754-4911 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. So call 303-754-4911 or toll free at 888-617-5255. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
Do you know the story? It's about a war, the very worst kind. It ripped apart our country, set American against American, North against South, free against slave. Now John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, brings to life the story of the Civil War. You meet Lincoln and Davis. You hear from Southern belles and Northern ladies. You sit across from slave traders as well as freedom fighters. You see the world through the eyes of a Yankee soldier and his Confederate counterpart. John Brown's Body transports you to the most troubled chapter in our country's history and gives voice to the human experience behind the facts and dates. John Brown's Body plays January 29th through February 28th at the Denver Center Theater Company. Do you know the story? The whole story?
Visit denvercenter.org or call 303-893-4100 today for your tickets.
People are talking about AM 1150 KNRC.
I work in an office, and I listen to my favorite radio station every day.
I find out everything I need to know about what's going on.
I turn on my radio, I get all the information I need.
Whether it's Iraq or the stock market.
I listen in my car, I listen at work.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
It's what we're here for. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
When I tune in,
I'm really pleased.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? You're now back to Enid Goldstein.
That's one of my favorite songs, 1227, on the Valentine's Day edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. My guests, John and Betsy Lendorf, and we're going to continue with them because it's a romance, too. It's a working partnership. They met in a newsroom. I once did a piece about Valentine's Day, and I want to share some of it with you. What seems to give the bikini-length month of February its raison d'etre is romance, an occasional leap year, the first tentative blush of spring, tulips, yes, tulips, all building to that crescendo called Valentine's Day. Perhaps you remember when it was an endearing, sweet little holiday, but now, beyond the pink ozone of calculated romance, you might notice that a lot of merchandise is being moved. Restaurants do a brisk business. Florists package thousands of roses, many sold singly, chastely. Chocolatiers dispense sweets at a price per pound that rivals the defense budget of certain third world countries, and they're reposed in windows and elsewhere. Our hearts of gold, diamonds, rubies, even, I am sorry to say, stone. All of these intended to function in some way as an aphrodisiac. It's a word you don't hear much anymore, not since the sexual revolution. and not explicitly. But ads are forever exhorting us to buy things designed to make us seem sexy or attractive. And today, aphrodisiacs have become more abstract. Money, power, fame, cellular phones, symbols. It wasn't always like this. In the days when an elixir was still an elixir, certain recipes were established for aphrodisiacs. Usually the potion required the services of a magician or witch whose incantations would activate the ingredients. Sometimes the ingredients were exotic, even for the Dark Ages. Toad's venom, ox bile, thieves' flesh, asses' lungs. But generally, these aphrodisiacs were tangible and, for the most part, ingestible. Well, maybe not always ingestible. According to man, myth, and magic, testicles have always been in demand as love stimulants. Bartolomeo, personal cook to His Holiness Pope Pius V, achieved immense fame among European gastronomes with his specialty, a pie of bull's testicles. And I will continue about, and then the ancient Greeks used to amuse themselves by baking phallic-shaped loaves of bread. And even the potato, when first introduced into Europe, became a delicacy for the well-to-do, arising from the erroneous belief that it cured impotence. We'll continue more. This is a piece that I wrote a while ago that was widely published about aphrodisiacs. My guests, John and Betsy Lindorf. And the reason I guess I'm thinking about aphrodisiacs is here you are, a married couple, and I working in the same for the same news organization, which is the Rocky Mountain News. Betsy is working in design, but she wasn't always working in design. John is a dining critic for the Rocky. Betsy, you began doing what?
Well, I started out as a police reporter. Actually, I started out at the Denver Post, editing copy, and started picking up some stories about, talking about romance, prostitution on East Colfax.
So
I became quite an expert on some of the crime going on in that area. Finally wound up at the Daily Camera, again as a police reporter, and that's where I met John.
And John, what were you doing at the Daily Camera, Boulder Daily Camera?
I was the food editor, but the main reason I took the job is because I love music. I love to write about it, and I also love to get into concerts for free. And it's so long ago now that I loved to get records in the mail. You remember vinyl?
Yes, I do remember vinyl. It's coming back, actually.
So over the years, even as I've written about food and become a dining critic, I've continued to write about music and interview, you know, the people that I admire. And
until only a few months ago, less than a year ago, I did not have a CD in my possession. I refused. I only had vinyl. Now, how did you two meet?
It's an interesting story. I have actually with the police department posed as a decoy prostitute on East Colfax. Okay, so I've known the lowlife. I couldn't get John Lindorf's attention in the newsroom to save my life. So I would go over and bring him his mail. I was very attracted to him because he was funny. You know, he was witty. He's a very
witty
writer.
You should have dressed up as vinyl.
Well, a couple CDs and I might have had a stab at it. So I invited, there was a fundraiser in Boulder and the women were allowed to pay a great sum of money, and then the charity would send out anonymous invitations inviting the man of their dreams to this event where they would then go up to them and explain that they had invited this gentleman anonymously.
In other words, you did not know who invited you to this event?
I had a feeling, but the reason I wasn't paying attention wasn't because she wasn't pretty. It was because
she's very pretty.
It was just low self-esteem. I didn't think anyone like that was actually interested in someone like me. But I got the invitation, and I went to the event, and there she was.
But you two make a very handsome couple.
Oh, you're so
thank
sweet.
You.
So you went to the event. She's there.
And
you find it's in the reveal.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
find out she's the one who invited you, Betsy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he was enchanted. Was the sense I got.
Uh-huh. And it didn't matter to me that she drove a pickup truck.
Well, she picked you up in it. That's matters.
Right. Absolutely. And we had a lovely, tempestuous relationship that lasted about a year.
And you broke up?
And I broke off.
Yep.
I broke it off.
Because?
Yep. She ditched me.
I ditched him. I had my reasons.
And?
I loved him.
And then how long did it take before you unditched each other?
5 years.
7, 8 years.
You mean
seven
you had broken up for 7 or 8 years?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was over. We became friends. And I went to New York City. I was pursuing actually a career as an actress, doing radio and TV commercials. It was a change from journalism, and went to New York. And one day I was walking past the New York Public Library. I was very lonely. You know, I was now getting towards 38, 39 years old, and I said, I'm going to ask John to marry me. So I went back to the place I was living at, picked up the phone, called him in the newsroom, and I said, marry me, right? And you said... That's dead air.
His mouth is dropped open. You were, to put it bluntly,
I was sitting
mildly surprised.
Well, if you know anything about newsrooms, and this is true where we work now, you're surrounded by people. There's no walls. There's no cubicles.
Right.
You're just so. Yes, my response was, wasn't that an interesting thing to say?
And that's exactly what he said to me.
He said, "Isn't that an interesting thing to say?"
And I'll call you later, I think. And so we did talk later. And,
but you were shocked, and were you delighted or just befuddled? All of those.
All that and terrified, because I was also very angry at her for ditching me.
All those years ago.
Yeah, it was very painful.
But you know, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. If it were over, you'd have been you would not have been angry anymore.
Yeah.
Well, and all of that went away, and we fell back in love. Not that I don't know that we necessarily had even fallen out of love. And we got married. And
how long a period of time after you proposed?
I think he came back to get me and bring me back. So I think it was 6 months before we got together after I proposed. Then he didn't give me a response, so he let me wait another month while I was in Boulder till he said yes. And he took me out to a restaurant.
I proposed at John's restaurant.
Yeah, on tax day, I
think.
Very
romantic.
Yeah,
place, yes.
April 15th, and then we got married that Labor Day.
Oh.
Had everybody out to Chautauqua and had a wonderful party. And I took over a whole beauty salon for the, a bride shower or something like that, and we all had our toes and nails done, and you guys had fun. Oh, and it's been...
Is it to work together? You've been married, what, about 11 years, 10 years,
yeah.
11 years?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And how is it to be married, live together, and work together? Do you see each other that much at the paper?
Well, I can see her sitting, I don't know, about 25 yards away.
Less than that.
We're almost in the same department. She's in lifestyles, I'm in entertainment. And... it's handy because when we have to make arrangements to pick up our marvelous son Hans, who goes to school in Boulder, and so we talk about that. Sometimes we go out to lunch, and occasionally, like this morning, we actually even commute together so we can take the HOV line.
And it's wonderful. Actually, I worked in engineering. This is another story. I worked for an engineering firm for a while, and I didn't see enough of my husband. And he was at the Rocky, and I started freelancing for the Rocky, got a position, and it just was perfect. You know, there's a lot more communication. I can see him as a journalist. I understand when he needs to work long hours, but to join him was just, you know. And last night we worked till 9 or 10 o'clock at night. My son was taken care of. We went home together. We knew that we would be coming back because we have a lot of work to do right now. We got back here about 9 o'clock in the morning, and we just were thrilled together, thrilled to have each other's company and to go back to work. We both understand the demands.
You know, this is great for me. I'm loving this a lot. I've never been married, and it's a wonderful love story that has had its obstacles and speed bumps, and here you are all these years later together and lovely as a couple. Thank you so much for joining us. Betsy Lindorf, the Rocky Mountain News. John Lindorf from the Rocky Mountain News.
Thanks, Enid.
It's a wonderful Valentine's Day story.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you for coming by the Press Club. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Valentine's Day edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Cloudy, 35 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by JCPenney. Investigators are on the scene of a fire at Ogden and 23rd, which started early this morning, about 8:30. One person was dead on the scene. A suspect arrested about an hour later at another fire at 22nd and Race. An Air Force Academy cadet entered a guilty plea yesterday to using cocaine and lying to military officials. The senior cadet, Cadet First Class James M. Long has been dismissed from the Air Force and received a sentence of 135 days in confinement. Denver City office is closed in a cost-saving effort today. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper says the five scheduled furlough days will save the city about $5 million this year. City offices will be closed Monday as well for the President's Day holiday. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche both off tonight. Nuggets are off for the NBA All-Star break, while the Avs are getting ready to play the Red Wings in Detroit tomorrow. It's the JCPenney President's Day sale going on now. Save 20 to 60% store-wide, plus an extra 15% off regular and sale prices with your JCPenney card. It's all inside JCPenney. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1239.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC News Time is 1240. Time to go to Darren Copeland now, the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by James Hardy Building. And trying to clean an accident up off the way, southbound I-25 in Colorado should be just about out of the way. Seeing an accident that's been reported, unknown direction, C-470 between Santa Fe and Broadway. It's going to be right around Lucent, so watch for that as well. And trying to get a tractor trailer out of the way, Quebec northbound at I-70. James Hardy Siding provides homeowners the beauty of wood without the usual maintenance. Visit them on the web at jameshardy.com. To learn more, that's JamesHardie.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Michael Reagan beginning at 6 right after Doug on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to see lots of sun out there for today, thanks to surface high pressure over our area. Warmer today, too. Our high, 43, still below our average low of 47. Later on tonight, clear down to 22. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, high of 48. Sunday, partly cloudy, then turning mostly cloudy with isolated snow showers for the afternoon hours, high of 38. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 35 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1241. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Got Valentine? Get Sweet Utopia. Sweet Utopia offers a unique array of sexy and sweet gifts to choose from. Breathe the air scented with oils and aromatherapy candles. Delight in the hand-dipped chocolate truffles filled with passion fruit and rose ganache. Sweet Utopia carries the full line of Kama Sutra products, massage oils, and Essence de Provence lavender from France. The silk pillows, handcrafted champagne glasses, and fine jewelry are sure to please your senses. Sweet Utopia's Valentine's Special, One Dozen Roses, One box of chocolate truffles, and a heart-shaped aromatherapy candle is a beautiful way to say, I love you. Come experience Sweet Utopia just off the corner of Zuni and 44th Avenue in historic Northwest Denver. Open Wednesday through Sunday, 303-403-1000.
KNRC Market Watch.
Markets remaining negative this hour. The Dow is down 55 points. S&P 500 losing 5. The NASDAQ is down 16. Slip comes after a disappointment in consumer sentiment for early February. An unexpected drop. Godiva says this is a big time for chocolate sales. But President Eugene Duncan tells Market Watch his Valentine's Day is sweeter because of sales around the Christmas holiday.
Our biggest selling period is actually the winter holidays as a total sales period. Mother's Day is a growing holiday period. And a very interesting holiday, and one that's grown tremendously the last couple of years, is Halloween.
But Duncan says the biggest single day for chocolate sales is February 14th. Godiva is owned by Campbell Foods, and the stock is down a dime. Fellow chocolatier Hershey is losing 60 cents a share. Once again on Wall Street, the Dow is down 56 points, S&P 500 losing 5, the NASDAQ down 17. Decliners leading advancers on the big board. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNIC.
My name is Cupid Valentino, the modern day Cupid. I just want to say one thing. Happy Valentine's Day. I don't think y'all heard me. I just want to say happy Valentine's Day.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1244 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. If you're new to our routine here, we do these shows from the Denver Press Club once a month. You're always invited to come down. We have a lot of people here who come down to have lunch. The food is wonderful. We have a great chef, Daniel Young. And the Press Club is, you don't have to be a member to come and have lunch or to come and come by, stop by and say hi during the show. It's located on 14th and about, between 13th and 14th on Glen Arm, right across the street from the Denver Athletic Club. And with us is Ann Schilling, a Fifth Avenue chocolatier in Cherry Creek. Ann?
Hi, Enid.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us today. This is the day when I imagine you're moving a lot of chocolate merchandise. Tell us about it.
We are so busy and we are so happy. Yes, this is probably our biggest chocolate day. And we're very busy. We're here on 220 Steele Street between 2nd and 3rd. And I encourage everybody to come down and see what we have for Valentine's Day. We have anything from a tiny little chocolate heart filled with three little truffles to a great big record that's all inscribed, Happy Valentine's Day, and
do
you I
custom,
love you.
Do you custom make things? If people want you to make, say, a chocolate phallic device, will you do that?
We can do that. That takes a little time.
Has anybody ever requested stuff like that?
Yeah, oh yeah. We have people that request anything and everything. We have over 7,000 molds in our factory. So we have something for everyone.
Maybe Janet Jackson will want to call you up and be memorialized. There was a great thing that spread on the Internet, and it was called How to Revive a Career, and it was Miss Piggy flashing her right breast, but that's another story.
I think Janet needed a little chocolate pasty.
Maybe she did. You know, you've done a KNRC logo for us, and I know Greg Dobbs always loved your chocolates.
Well, and that's the other thing I wanted to say. We love your show. We love Greg Dobbs' show. We miss him, and we want Jerry and I. He's a friend and a customer, and we want to say that we miss him and we wish him the very best. We love him, and we just wish him to get well very quickly.
I'm sure he appreciates that, Ann. I'm talking with Ann Schilling from Fifth Avenue Chocolatier in Cherry Creek. I want to tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, there are only two major food groups, chocolate and grease. I am a big chocoholic, and I have, as I have said about 1,000 times before, my aunt, I had an aunt who lived to be almost 100 years old, and she existed mainly on a diet of dark chocolate.
A girl of my dreams.
And mine, too. What does it cost if somebody wants to come in right now? This is a last-minute thing. Somebody has not been as attentive as they should have been.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of those.
What can they buy that will really fill the bill, and what will the bill be?
Well, of course, we have our very famous Belgian truffles. This is a family recipe. It's 30 years old, and you will find it nowhere else in the world. Our truffles are sold in little wooden boxes. We have small, medium, and large. They are pure chocolate, or you can have champagne flavored or strawberry flavored.
When they say pure chocolate, do you mean dark chocolate?
It's a truffle. The truffles are pure dark chocolate covered in cocoa.
Okay, because my fave is always dark. The milk chocolate, I think, is Hershey Land.
Well, actually, Enid, dark chocolate is really health food. Especially for women.
Happy. I am so happy to hear you say that. We're not going to let the medical establishment know, though.
Well, the thing is, you know, we just read an article that dark chocolate with a high percentage of cocoa is healthy for you. It has the flavonoids, and it's very good for you. It's the same theory as a little glass of red wine a day for your heart.
All right, now what does it cost when you're doing the truffles and so on?
Okay, the truffles, the pure truffles are sold in the little wooden boxes, and they go, the small box with six truffles is $11. A medium-sized box of truffles has 15 truffles, and that's $22. And then the large box of truffles has 24 truffles, and that's $33. They're kept in the freezer, and they're good for a year in the freezer if they last. And if you haven't eaten them, I mean. And they are to be taken out and eaten probably at room temperature.
Oh, yes. That's assuming that a frenzy isn't in progress.
Exactly. I think that's what I mean if they last.
Yeah. In my house, they are, as I'm singing, nobody knows the truffles I've seen. That's it. They're gone. Is there such a thing as low-carb chocolate?
We don't have it. We have a very good brand of sugar-free chocolate, a very good assortment, and it's, we've taken us 30 years to find something that we really thought was quality. So we just got that, and I'm sure my partner in New York is probably, as we speak, working on low-carb chocolate, because that is the latest.
And where does the production, where do you make the chocolates?
Most of the chocolate is made, the chocolate is imported from Belgium, from a little town in Bruges, Belgium, and it is shipped to New York, and in New York, in our factory, all the molds are made. The chocolate is made. I do, however, do dipped strawberries, pineapples, bananas, orange slices. I do that for weddings, showers, dinner parties.
But it's made, the chocolate is made in New York and then shipped to Denver?
Right. All the molds, all the formed chocolate is shipped to
Denver.
So
it's not quite as fresh as it would be if it were made right here?
We get it overnight.
You do?
We get it overnight. Yep.
Okay.
And it's sent to us because chocolate has a shelf life of about a year. So if it's made, I mean, anything that you order, if I don't have it in the store, I get it overnight. It's made the day I order it. So
it's all very, very fresh. The making of chocolate is a very, I don't know about complicated, but there's a diciness to the making of chocolate, is there not?
Yes, there's, it's a temperature thing. It's how much cream, how much butter, the combination thereof.
And also creating the texture and how much you're going to whip that texture into shape.
Exactly. Now our chocolate truffles are so well known that they are given out on first class in JAL Airlines, Nippon Airlines. We have 27 little boutiques in Japan and in Tokyo, and we're the only store in outside of New York in the continental United States. And the only way to get to know our truffles, it's impossible to explain it, is to come in and taste it. I always have a tray of samples.
Well, I have to tell you, Ann, I have never had one of your truffles.
That will change. We have to rectify that.
Oh, is this a shameless ploy on my part? I've only heard about them, but I've actually never had your truffles.
Okay,
so.
Now I can't believe my little friend Greg Dobbs hasn't shared what he gets.
I've never had your dark chocolate. We have had things that have been made in the KNRC logo.
Okay.
And those were not dark chocolate, so I've never been able to sample your dark chocolate, and I'd love to do it sometime.
I'm going to send you a large box of truffles right after we get off the phone.
Oh,
I will have a box delivered.
Well, thank you very much, and I don't think they're going to last a day, but I really...
They probably won't. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, Ann, I'm delighted that you could join us. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. And what's the address on Steele?
The address is 220 Steele Street.
And how late are you going to be open today? What are your hours going to be today for those last minutes?
My hours are till 6 or until the last gun is fired, and we're open all day tomorrow for those last minute people from 10 in the morning until 6 in the evening.
Well, I think a gift of truffles is always a wonderful gift. Ann Schilling, Fifth Avenue Chocolatier, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Enid.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC, the fabulous Friday edition, a Valentine's Day edition, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony and the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Experience a different side to the Colorado Symphony Orchestra with Dracula Frankenstein on February 18th and get your chance to play a theremin. Tickets available at all King Super's Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. To get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
KNRC Community Commitment.
The Arvada Center for the Arts and Humanities announces its 2004 summer camp programs. Session lengths will vary from 1 to 5 weeks during the months of June, July, and August. These inspiring and creative camps offer experiences for kids aged 6 through 18 in studio photography, hands-on clay, drama, orchestra, dance, and more. To register or request a complete catalog, call the Arvada Center box office at 720-898-7200 or visit the website at arvadacenter.org. Hurry into Pep Boys, where an express ProLine oil change is just $11.88. That's right, $11.88. And it's done in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. See store for details. Pep Boys, they're car people.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
The look of love is in your eyes. The look your heart can't disguise.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:55 on the Valentine's Day edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We're between 13th and 14th on Glenarm. Come stop by. We're having a wonderful time today. We have lots of people lined up for you, novelists and reporters, writers, a tantric sex therapist, a speed dating organizer, and a diamond cabaret stripper, so don't go anywhere. I wrote a piece, and I started to read it to you, share it with you about Valentine's Day. About aphrodisiacs, actually, and this was widely published when I still had time to write, but let me continue, because the ancient Greeks used to amuse themselves, as I think I told you, by baking phallic-shaped loaves of bread, and even the potato, which I think I told you, became a delicacy because there was the erroneous belief that it cured impotence. Another cure for that vexing condition was thought to be the flesh of the partridge. The partridge was favored by the impotent because it was notorious for its lascivious disposition and its supposed power to impregnate its mate by the sound of its voice. Fish has frequently been considered an aphrodisiac, partly because of its phosphorus content, and in fact, it is on record that a drake which inadvertently drank phosphorus was aroused to such a frenzy of lust for an army of ducks that it died from exhaustion. Maybe it was just bliss. Through the ages, perfume has been considered a strong aphrodisiac as well as a high form of sorcery. Somerset Maugham always felt that the author H.G. Wells' apparently irresistible attractiveness to women was due to his fragrance. Although scents can indeed be powerful attractants, musk comes to mind. Sometimes they achieve the opposite effect. During the Middle Ages, monks and nuns, when beset by lustful thoughts, sought refuge from the devil's wishes by sniffing camphor. It inspired this maxim, camphor is smelled, a man will geld. If some aphrodisiacs are exotic, others are literally garden variety. At various times, aphrodisiacs have included artichokes, oysters, asparagus, leeks, parsnips, turnips, lettuce, and cabbage. Even the tomato, under the name of love apple, became so sought after as an aphrodisiac that the Puritans declared it to be poisonous. But perhaps the sweetest aphrodisiac, if not the longest running, is honey, which is still used as a term of endearment and is also the origin of the term honeymoon. Hippocrates, considered the father of medicine, recommended milk with honey as an aphrodisiac. Honey was a favorite food for this purpose in the harems of Imperial Istanbul. It was also used in the love potions of the southern Slavs and in other parts of Europe, mixed in cakes intended to be eaten by the boy or girl whose love one hoped to win. In the event this use was too subtle, it is reported that the Magyars used to smear the sexual organs of young girls and boys with honey to ensure their greater popularity with the opposite sex, perhaps giving rise to the term sticky wicket. In certain Asian cultures, powdered rhinoceros horn is considered an aphrodisiac, though probably not to the poor rhinoceros. But these days, the ultimate aphrodisiac, at least according to Henry Kissinger, is power. In fact, he once joked that after becoming Secretary of State, women who were seated next to him at dinner and found themselves bored now thought it was their fault. But for those of us not as fortunate as Dr. Kissinger, there is a preparation called Long Tong Syrup of Joy, which one British writer somberly assured us is still widely sold and enjoyed in the United States. You may want to jot that down, maybe in your date book, right there next to that reminder to pencil in sex with your beloved if you're lucky enough to have one. If you haven't been reduced to phone sex, computer sex, safe sex, was sex ever safe, and all the other sexual substitutes, light sex, such as steamy videos now available on the market, none of which comes close to filling the secret longing, often surprisingly undiminished since first grade, that beams with quiet joy upon hearing those three exquisite little words, "Be my Valentine." I'm Enid Goldstein, 2 more hours of Enid right here on AM 1150.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 38 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Post News Home Buyer Fair. A man is clinging to life after spending at least 20 minutes underwater. North Metro Fire spokeswoman Wendy Krajewski says crews initially responded to a call of a dog in the water at Josh's Pond at Lockamora Park in Broomfield.
They were in the process of actually pulling the dog out of the water when a witness actually indicated that he believed an owner of the pet had actually fallen through the ice as well. Firefighters were able to locate a male and drag him to the shore.
Officers believe the dog's owner may have chased the dog onto the ice and fell in. Krajewski says it's important to remember in Colorado the ice is rarely thick enough to stand on. The dog was not injured. Investigators continue their work with a fire that broke out about 8:30 this morning at Ogden and 23rd. One person was found dead at the scene. Police arrested a suspect about an hour later at another fire near 22nd and Race. One victim from that fire was transported to University Hospital suffering from burns. If you've got business to do with the city of Denver, you'll need to wait until Tuesday. City offices are closed today in the first of 5 scheduled furlough days that are designed to save the city an estimated $5 million this year. Mayor John Hickenlooper says that in addition to saving the city money, the days off will help the city avoid layoffs of city employees. Because of the President's Day holiday on Monday, the offices will be closed as well. Two bills were killed in legislative committees that would have made older coal-fired power plants upgrade all of their pollution controls. The proposal means the plants would have had to have the best available anti-pollution technology by 2014. The requirement would have been mandatory as soon as plants hit 40 years of age. Xcel Energy owns 7 of the 12 plants that would have been affected, and the utility says the upgrades would have cost them $600 million. A Denver cop is on the other side of the bars. Officer Damon Finley was booked into the Denver City Jail after being charged with bribery, conspiracy, and theft. Finley was also charged in federal district court yesterday for lying to FBI agents. Denver DA Bill Ritter says Finley lied to a drug suspect after accepting a bribe.
The agreement was that the payment would be made, the drugs would be destroyed. In fact, the drugs were never destroyed. The drugs were not tampered with, but the allegation is that the payment was received.
The drug suspect, Anthony Brothers, may also face charges in the case. The FBI, who assisted, says Finley lied to them during the investigation leading to the federal charges. Finley was on paid leave since last July. He's now suspended without pay. It's the second time in a year that a Denver officer has been charged with a felony involving drugs. Retired General Wesley Clark is formally endorsing Democratic presidential front runner Senator John Kerry. Clark dropped out of the race on Wednesday after disappointing finishes in Virginia and Tennessee, which Kerry won. Clark threw his support behind Kerry at a campaign event today in Wisconsin. A National Guardsman in Washington State is accused of trying to pass military secrets to Al-Qaeda Specialist Ryan Anderson, who reportedly is a converted Muslim, is being detained at Fort Lewis, Washington. Jennifer Surratt, who was a former classmate of Anderson's, says he was a good student who was well-liked at school.
He came from a good family. I'm pretty sure his parents are shocked about this whole thing. I know a bunch of us that knew Ryan are shocked, too.
Anderson was arrested yesterday. The U.S. military says a sting operation conducted by the Army, FBI, and Justice Department uncovered the alleged scheme. The 26-year-old Anderson is being held at Fort Lewis pending criminal charges. He was slated for deployment to Iraq this summer. White House spokesman Scott McClellan continues to be peppered with questions about President Bush's military service record.
I think most of the American people believe that this issue's kind of run its course.
McClellan told news reporters that pertinent documents have been released and the issue has been adequately addressed. Questions, though, continue to be raised about whether Bush was where he was supposed to be in 1972 and 73 when he was in the Air National Guard. The judge in the Michael Jackson child molestation case wants to see a trial by the end of the year. Jackson did not attend a hearing today. In court action today, the judge rejected a request by news organizations to unseal some of the documents in the case. Stocks continue lower as we head into the last hour of today's trading session on Wall Street. Dow is down 64 points, the NASDAQ down nearly 17, the S&P 500 down almost 5. In sports, no game for the Colorado Avalanche tonight. They're coming off their 4-0 shutout of the St. Louis Blues last night. Avs are in Detroit tomorrow afternoon, where they'll be playing the dreaded Red Wings. Denver Nuggets are off as well. They're off for the NBA All-Star break. Nuggets get back to work on Tuesday at the Pepsi Center. They'll be playing the Philadelphia 76ers. Looking for a new home? Come to the first ever post-news Home Buyer Fair Saturday, February 21st at Invesco Field, featuring the latest home buying options, exhibits, seminars, and more. It's going to be big. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Some people prefer the right wing. Some prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the Ace Hardware Bag Sale going on Saturday, February 14th. For one day only, you can save 20% on whatever you can fit in a bag. That's right. If it fits in the Ace Hardware Sale bag, you save 20%. It's the best bag ever. So come in this Saturday only, February 14th, and save big. Ace, the helpful place.
Discount off regular price of in-stock merchandise that can fit inside bag. See participating store for details. Additional exclusions apply. One bag per customer.
Yesterday, a woman asked me if Beaujolais goes with pork tenderloin. Excuse me, what? Like I can stop and think about pairing wine with food while I've got a house to sell.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage knows your buyer could be anywhere. That's why we're everywhere. So relax. Our global network will market your home worldwide. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
KNRC News Time is 106. Let's go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by General Motors. And pretty busy drive out there right now. Southbound 225 approaching I-25. It's going to be between Yosemite and 225, an injury accident. Watch for that. Northbound I-25 just south of Colorado, an accident causing delays. There may still be remnants southbound I-25 at Colorado as well. We do have a problem in the cleanup stages. C-470 between Santa Fe and Broadway, right around Lucent. Watch an accident there. When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just push a button and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar, always there, always ready. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the mornings beginning at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Mike Stenifford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. A good-looking afternoon, partly sunny to mostly sunny and warmer. We'll get up to a high of 45. Tonight, fair skies down to 23. Another good-looking day on Saturday. Lots of sunshine, still warmer, high 48. Turning cloudy, colder Sunday. Sunday's high only around 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenifford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy skies now, 40 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours till 3 o'clock. This is the Valentine's Day edition. We're coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We have lots of guests lined up. John Enslin has done, as he always does, a splendid job. And with us is novelist Ana Menendez. Her brand new book is called Loving Shay. And she will be at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30. Ana, thank you so much for joining
us. It's wonderful to be here.
Talk right into the microphone. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. You started out life not as a novelist, but you were a reporter. Where did you begin?
I started off at the Miami Herald. I got the job on my 21st birthday.
What was your beat? Were you a general assignment reporter?
I started off, collecting faxes and stapling them and doing a weekly traffic column, and then moved on to the suburban editions and ended up covering Little Havana.
That was your beat, Little Havana?
Yes.
And what's your background?
My parents were both born in Cuba. I was born in L.A.
You were?
Yeah.
And so they managed to come over at what point?
They met in Los Angeles, actually. They met at the Cuban Social Club. But they didn't know each other in Cuba. They came separately with their families. They were quite young. My mother came in 65, and my father had come over in 61.
And they eventually settled in Los Angeles.
Yes, they were both went to Los Angeles. Eventually, I mean, they're down in Miami now with all the other Cubans, but they lived for a while in Los Angeles and then Tampa, and you know, just slowly making their way down.
How did you decide to become a novelist, or did it tell you rather than you telling?
I always wrote. My uncle is a well-known and well-regarded poet, Dionisio Martinez, who has had much success, as much success as poets can have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up around that. I grew up around poetry. I grew up with memorizing the poetry of José Martí and always surrounded by good books. And I knew that I was going to write, and I think I went into journalism because it was a way to get health care and have a
steady paycheck.
Perhaps someday it won't be, but and have a steady paycheck.
Well, I'll quote you what Gore Vidal said about people who taught and tried to write. He said, teaching has ruined more writers than drink. And you might say that about being a reporter, because the demands of the job are so great that when you get home, the last thing you want to do is write.
And I didn't. I didn't do any of my own writing while I was a reporter. This almost 7 years of reporting, I did no creative writing.
No creative writing. And then reacquaint yourself with your...
It was a crash program.
Did you quit or did you...
No,
what did you do?
I decided to apply to the program at NYU. Unfortunately, to do that, I had to take the GRE after having been out of college for some years. And I also had to turn in samples of my work, and they weren't going to be taking my newspaper stories. So I had to... I actually did have to write 3 short stories after coming home from working a full day in newspapers, and that was tough.
In order to get accepted at NYU.
Yes, they wanted to see, you know, my fiction writing capabilities.
And what were you accepted for?
I was accepted for the MFA program, and I was a New York Times fellow there, which was wonderful because they paid for a tuition and they gave me a stipend, and it made it very easy for me to accept it.
Now, did you take a leave from the Miami Herald to do this?
No, I was working. I was working for the Orange County Register at that time, and I quit.
Just quit?
Yeah.
That's it. You can't fire me, I quit.
That's right.
One step ahead of us, you shine. So now you've got to sink or swim here. And the MFA program is what, 2 years?
2 years, that's right.
Okay. So now you're doing the MFA program, and what happens? You graduate? Do you write a novel during that time?
I wrote my first book, which was a collection of short stories. And I wrote that in the program, and it formed my master's thesis.
And was it published?
It was published, yes. In Cuba, I was a German Shepherd. It was published in 2001.
And then what do you do after that? You graduate from the New York Times, or the New York NYU's
NYU.
MFA program.
Mm-hmm.
And you get married somewhere along the line?
I was married already. I've been married since 1995. So when
You're
I
married
went
to a New York Times reporter?
He works for the New York Times now. He was working for... We met at the Miami Herald, and he was working at the LA Times. And he went to India when I went to New York.
So you were separated for that period of time?
We were separated for the time of the program, of course, just for about 3 months at a time, and I would go down over there in breaks and things like that.
But you go to India?
I would
breaks?
Go to India on breaks, yeah.
And tell us your husband's name.
Dexter Filkins.
Is he the one who's carrying a gun in Baghdad? Is that the one that I've been reading about?
The one that's been reported to, yes.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that. All right, so now you're published. And tell me about this book, Loving Shay. Is it your first full novel?
It's my first novel, yes.
Okay.
It's
what's the story?
It's the plot, such as it is, concerns a young woman who knows very little about her background. Her grandfather has taken her out of Cuba, and she doesn't know very much about her mother or her father. And she makes several trips back to Cuba to try to find out about them, but doesn't hear anything. And then one day a package comes in the mail, and it's a collection of writings and photographs, and the woman who's writing it is claiming her as her daughter, and more outrageously still, claiming that she had this affair with Che Guevara. And then the last part of the book is the daughter going back to Cuba to try to find out if it's true.
My guest, if you're just tuning in, Ana Menendez, the book Loving Che. How long did it take you to write the book?
I started research for it in 1999 and started the actual writing right when I was finished with my other book, so it must have been 2001.
Have you been to Cuba? Have you been back?
Yes.
Do your family, can they go back and forth? Have they been back and forth?
Nobody else in my family has. My mother, my father went back for a time, but neither of my sister nor my cousins or anybody's been back. I went back for the first time in 97, and I was just there in 2002. I have family there, so I can travel there legally. We were able to get visas and travel.
And what was the experience like? Because you were born in this country, so that would have been your first visit to this place that must have a lot of mythological baggage.
Yes, exactly. And it was, I think, what you would expect. I was, I realized that it was, it had been a place of the imagination, and now it no longer was. Now it was a place almost like any other.
With a lot of old American cars.
That's right.
And you know, so does Syria. The Syria has the same thing. You see these old cruisers, DeSotos, these chrome-encrusted dinosaurs that used to roam the America.
That's right.
The
they don't make them like they used to.
What was the experience like? Disappointing because nothing can live up to mythology and probably unexpectedly wonderful in places.
Yes, exactly. That just about sums it up. I remember when the plane landed at the airport, I caught sight of one of the palm trees that grow in Cuba. They're very distinctive. They're different from the ones we get in Miami. And I saw this palm tree, and it was like the palm trees that were in all the black and white photos that my parents were always showing us. And I immediately burst into tears. Just from that side.
Why won't your mother go back? Is she able to travel?
She's able to travel. She doesn't want to. She considers it giving money to a regime that she finds distasteful.
Even though she still has family there?
She doesn't. My father has family there, some cousins, and those are the ones that I go and visit. But my mother has no family there left. My mother was the child of immigrants to Cuba herself, and so they didn't have all that much family in Cuba.
Where were her family from?
Her father was born in Spain, and her mother's family was from the Middle East, from Lebanon and Syria.
And they settle in Cuba. Why?
When the Ottoman Empire was breaking up, they hopped on a ship to Mexico, which accidentally stopped in Cuba.
They jumped off.
And they jumped off.
You know, I think you have a novel there because nobody could have, you wouldn't have necessarily thought of that as the beginning of a story.
That's right.
Going from reporting to being a novelist, what surprised you most in the process?
Well, one of the things that surprised me and that, in fact, I miss is that as a reporter, the truth is already there for you. The scaffolding of the story is already there for you. You go out and you find the story, and it's there, and it's just a matter of building these words around the scaffolding. In fiction, there's no scaffolding. In fiction, you can write anything at all. Anything at all could happen. And
you have to create the story.
You have to create the story from the ground up, and it sounds like great freedom, but I think like most great freedoms, it's very fraught and very complicated.
In what way is it fraught?
Well, there's...
Is a lot on your shoulders?
There's so many options that it's difficult to pick. It's difficult to say this is the right way to tell the story. This is the right way to say it happened, because you have unlimited options, and it's difficult to settle on
one. Some authors have said the story tells them how to tell it. Do you find that that's the case?
Once you get into it, it develops its own logic, and yes, it does. But there's so many different voices that you can employ. There's so many different techniques. Do you want to do a straight narrative? Do you want to do vignettes, the way that some of this is written in. Do you want to use very elevated language? Do you want to use very straight language? And all those things go into the writing of it and into the exploration of the story. And that takes time to develop.
The most satisfying part of it, being a novelist.
The most satisfying?
I'm still waiting for that one. Well, I would guess, because I started out life as a writer, and occasionally I would review books, and now I have virtually no time at all for it. But I would think that the best part of it is to have that time and that time to get into your own imagination and root around
in
it. If there's something that you're in your own world, and I mean the pressure is, what can you haul out of there that makes a story that will pass your own tough standards.
Makes it worthwhile.
Right. But just the process of getting down there and rooting around
is
delicious.
It is. Absolutely. And I'm aware, because I was in journalism, I'm aware of what a luxury it is to be able to spend time in the mind and to read a lot and to explore intellectual ideas.
Who are you influenced by? Who are some of your favorite writers?
Well, again, it's mostly in poetry. I'm a huge fan of the American poets, Mark Strand, Phil Levine. I had the opportunity to read with him in New York, and I was just absolutely thrilled because he's my hero.
I studied with Allen Ginsberg.
Allen Ginsberg,
yeah.
One of the Beats.
In Boulder.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. I'm jealous. Mm-hmm.
The Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics.
Yeah.
I'm the most disembodied member they probably have ever. Anna Menendez, thank you so much for joining us today. She has written Loving Che. You can meet her tonight at Tatter Cover, Cherry Creek at 7:30. We'll read and talk to people, answer questions.
That's right. I'm looking forward to it.
You'll have a wonderful evening. Treat yourself. Go to Tatter Cover, Cherry Creek tonight. Meet Anna Menendez. Loving Che is her new novel. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We co-host Style Matters Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You know that we know great shopping. That's why we'll be at Aspen Grove on Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton.
You got that right. Aspen Grove is an open-air shopping center. Park right in front of great stores like Pottery Barn, Coldwater Creek, Talbot's, and Chico's. It's an urban feel in the heart of suburbia with 7 great restaurants. No food court food here.
Aspen Grove has stores you'd find at any mall, plus a few wonderful exclusives like the Carol Lee Adrian Vitadini shop, the new Italian department store Camille Lavi, and White House Black Market. You will buy an outfit in white, and then I'm going to buy the same one in black.
I heard that.
Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral and Littleton, near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
You can't top Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman. And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Be sure to start your day the right way.
It's a busy world, and none of us has a lot of time, especially me. That's why I tune to this station, because in a heartbeat, they're going to give me all the headlines that's going on around the country, around the globe.
The station you can depend on.
And right here locally. Let me know what's going on, and I like to keep on top of everything that's going on. And there's only one place for me to find that, and that's right here. That's why we use this station.
Denver's locally owned news and talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
To be you, it had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who...
You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. It's a Valentine's Day edition. There are lots of people here having lunch. If you feel like coming down just to say hello, you don't have to be a member. But we have lots of people lined up on the Valentine's Day edition of Enid Live. And back for a return visit, Jack Cox, who is a feature writer for the Denver Post. He has written about the decline of bar dating. Jack, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Talk to me about where people can find each other. Bar dating, I'm glad that it's declining because I don't think that's the greatest venue for meeting people. But what did you find out in your travels? Tell us.
Well, the reporting I did suggests that maybe bar dating never has been a very effective way of meeting people. I think it's a Hollywood myth, popularized by movies like Casablanca, for example. What we found is in talking to people in their 20s and 30s is that most people meet each other through friends, co-workers, especially in college. People meet each other through classes, dormitory, living situations. These days, what you find in bars is especially group dating, which is the trend among 20-somethings is going as a group, not specifically linking
with
up
anybody.
With anybody.
So how many kids go out together as a group in group dating? 10 kids? It varies, I suppose?
It varies. Six to 10, enough to sit around a couple of tables.
And they're looking to meet other people, or they're just out, they're friends, and they're just out to, go have a couple of cocktails and have
fun. I think
fun.
That's more it. And I think the bar scene in general is people who know each other either through work or through social relationships go there as groups to hang out with each other, not necessarily to meet people outside that circle.
So where are people meeting? If they're not meeting in bars, which is probably a good thing for everybody, where are they meeting? Because they're going to conk out from the secondhand smoke.
Right, right. Well, I think
and the potential for becoming an alcoholic.
I think people, especially in Colorado, meet through activities, clubs, outdoor pursuits, group situations.
Have you ever examined or written about these groups that... Our commercial groups that introduce men and women. I heard a commercial for one of them coming in today. They're going to resurrect the dance card. Now there, I haven't heard the term dance card in about 5,000 years.
Right.
They're going to have men of honor, and I don't know where they have the honorometer that they hang over your head to see if you register in the red zone or not. But first of all, where are they going to get these men of honor? Because there are a lot more women around and about two or three single straight men in the whole universe as far as we can tell. And what about these commercial enterprises that charge you a fortune? I knew somebody who signed up with one. Actually, I interviewed one in San Francisco, and their whole deal was to introduce you to the highest level people, and to keep that myth going, they charged you a fortune to sign up, thousands of dollars to do it. And I think if these people who were so fancy wanted to meet somebody, if a man has anything, here's the definition of an alpha male, somebody who can still drive at night. So if a man has anything remotely going for him, he doesn't have to run an ad in the personal section. He doesn't have to sign up with one of these things. Women will flock to him because they're a lot more interesting women than men. Is that your experience or no?
I think that's right. I think the singles organizations and the commercial outfits that help people match up have their place.
Well, they're looking to make money.
They seem to be successful, Great Expectations, which is a dating service with a branch in Denver and about 50 other branches around the country, claims that one out of eight matchups that they arrange result in a marriage or a success, and they define success as a marriage. So obviously some people do well at those. Even the online services seem to be catching on, even among midlifers. But I suspect that the key is still common interests and being in a situation where you find somebody with a common interest other than simply meeting somebody else.
So go where you're interested.
Go where you're interested.
If you're a guy and you're not interested in cooking, go to the cooking classes because you will meet women. And if you're a woman, sign up for carpentry classes because you will meet men. Is
right.
that a fair? Sign up for the auto mechanic class. Sign up for the basketball enrichment class.
Right, or wine tasting. I think co-ed softball, co-ed volleyball are big in Denver. The mountain activities, the ski clubs.
All of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the advice. Dating is not in the bars anymore. Find something that interests you. What other observations were you able to arrive at in covering the dating scene?
Well, one factor that we found that was that seems to be important in this change away from bars is the rise of single parenthood. Obviously, if you're a single parent, and a lot of singles out there are these days, you've got less time to waste hanging out, looking for social relationships, and also you're concerned about the safety and the needs of your child or your children.
Well, aren't there a lot of groups, though, for single parents?
There are. I think there are.
I actually had a cousin who went to one of these single parenting kind of groups. She was widowed, and she met her next husband, her third husband. She wore them all out. I don't know what happened. We don't want to go there, but that would be a place to meet.
I think it would.
Eligible.
And it would probably be more family-friendly than a bar.
All right, so Tell me about, since I'm new to Denver, Jack Cox, feature writer for the Denver Post, tell me about the dating scene here. What can we say about the men? Are there any? A single man, available men?
I think...
And the good ones are all taken?
I think Denver's full of eligible young men and women. Again, the question is...
Yeah, but how do they find each other?
A lot of people, I think, find each other through work. The recommendations of the authors of a dating guidebook that I talk to include backyard. You'd never want to turn down an invitation to a backyard barbecue. Number one, you've got some preliminary screening there indicating that whoever's there at least knows the host.
Right.
And secondly, it's a situation where women would be approachable and men would be approachable.
And there's not a lot of pressure. There have been situations
right.
where friends have tried to introduce me to their friends, and then they set up a thing where there are maybe four or five couples, and then everybody's looking to see how the people they're trying to introduce are getting on, and there's just way too much scrutiny.
That's always the trouble with a blind date.
Oh, blind date. That's really...
Or any kind of a setup situation like that.
Yeah.
It's high expectations. I think...
Well, also, you don't know each other, and it's... what do you... I could never run a personals ad. And the reason I can't run a personals ad is I don't like to shop by mail. Although I occasionally do shop by mail now, but I never used to. I like to see what it is. Who is it? What is it? What's somebody like? Here's what people advertise for in the United States. They're looking for magic and chemistry and slow dancing. And how do you know? You can't advertise for that stuff. And one time I accompanied a photographer. He had culled about a dozen of the best personals ads and photographed the people who placed them. I'm here to tell you that there's almost no truth in lending here. There's no full disclosure. There was no correlation between the way people describe themselves and the way they actually looked. And people who don't hesitate to mix their plaids and stripes consider themselves adventurous. So I think that's a terrible way to find somebody, but many people have called my show to say... But that's how they met, through an ad, and they have been married now for many years and happily.
I think you can find people that way. I think you'd want to build in some safeguards in trying to meet someone like that. One of them is to meet for the first time in a public place. Another is to let your friends know who you're meeting and when you'll be back. There are a lot of kooks out there. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, looking for Mr. Goodbar.
Right. And the online... dating services such as Match.com may provide some screening.
Match.com. I once, for purposes of scientific research, scrolled around Match.com. 99% of these men can't spell. They can't spell. This is the most distressing thing in the world. In spite of spell check, these guys can't spell. I mean, can you go out with somebody who can't, who describes himself as, what are they all? They all use the same, and you know what? That's the other thing. Everybody's drinking at the same stale trough of adjectives. There must be only three or four that anybody's ever using about themselves. And it's so repetitive that you just want to jump off your computer.
Right. For a special relationship with special someone.
Yeah. What are the cliches that you found?
I haven't been reading.
They all want moonlight. You know. All right, if you look at the personal stats, I used to collect personal stats. If you look at the ones in England, the ones in the United States all talk about, you know, they all want moonlight. Moonlight walks, moonlight dinner, romantic dinner, candlelight dinner. They all talk about that. The ones in England, I saw a wonderful ad, I wish I had it with me, where the man said he was graduate of Oxford, that he was deafened and slightly lame, and he wasn't talking about those moonlight walks. He laid it out, but he laid it out so charmingly and so persuasively that someone might want to call him.
I think one avenue on personals is to go to the classifieds in a magazine of in a special interest magazine rather than in a widespread mass circulation newspaper.
Oh, yeah, like the New York Review of Books or something.
Right.
You get somebody highly intellectual.
I was reading
who hasn't bathed in about a month.
Perhaps. I was reading some in The Nation this week, and
what do they say in The Nation?
Well, they get pretty
specific. Looking to make anti-war protest and love.
Right. You know somebody's politics right off when you read something in a magazine like that.
Right. Well, Jack Cox, thank you so much for joining us today. Feature writer for the Denver Post, The Decline of Bar Dating, and Not a Moment Too Soon as far as I'm concerned. What do you think?
I agree.
Was it depressing to try and...
One email I got from a guy in Rifle said in 25 years of going to bars, he has never met anybody worth knowing in a bar.
The definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing you've been doing and hoping for a different outcome.
Right.
What does it say about him? Jack Cox, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. 1:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 41 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the NHL on ABC this Saturday afternoon. North Metro fire crews rescued a man who had fallen through the ice at Josh's Pond at Lockamora Park in Broomfield today. The man had apparently chased his dog onto the ice and fell in. The man had been in the water at least 20 minutes and was flown to the hospital. Fire investigators are looking into a fire that broke out about 8:30 this morning near Ogden and 23rd. One person died in that fire. A suspect was arrested at another fire about an hour later near 22nd and Race. Denver City offices are closed today and Monday. They're closed today in the first of five furlough days designed to save the city $5 million and avoid layoffs. Monday, the offices are closed for President's Day. In sports, no games for either the Denver Nuggets or the Colorado Avalanche. Nuggets are off for the All-Star break, while the Avs are heading to Detroit for tomorrow afternoon's game with the Red Wings. Avs fans, watch the NHL on ABC Saturday at 1. It's the most ferocious rivalry in sports. The Detroit Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche face off. NHL's top rivals only on ABC Saturday at 1. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:36.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Most radio commercials try to pique your interest. This one will try to lower yours. Your high interest student loans, that is. Do what over 300,000 people have already done and call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. By calling College Loan Corporation, you can lower your monthly payments by refinancing your student loans with federal rates as low as 2.63%. That's right, 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, Matthew.
Tell me
what the future holds?
Ah, good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
KNRC News Time is 1:37. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by James Hardy Building. And we do have a couple problems still being causing problems, I guess I would say. Southbound 225 at I-25, an injury accident. Northbound I-25 at Colorado, an accident causing delays for people trying to make their way into downtown. Westbound Jewel right at Sheridan, an accident. Visit Pradera in Parker for homes carefully crafted with durable, low-maintenance James Hardy siding products by D.R. Horton's Continental Series. For more information, call 303-840-5981. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly weekday mornings at 10 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Mike Stuniford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. Our skies will range from partly sunny to mostly sunny this afternoon. Going to be warmer, too, as we get up to a high of 45. Tonight, fair skies down at 23 and a beautiful day on Saturday. Sunshine even warmer, high 48. Changes on Sunday, turning cloudy and colder. Sunday's high only around 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stuniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 41 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:38. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
My name is Troy, and I met my fiancé on eHarmony.com.
My name is Tom, and I met my fiancé, Brenda, on eHarmony.com.
My name is Jack, and I met my wife, Jennifer, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the thousands of eHarmony matches. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today and get your free personality profile.
Hi, my name's Daniel, and I found my fiancée Allison at eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy couples out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
An unlucky trading session this Friday the 13th, about to end in negative territory. Dow Industrials down 70 points inside the final hour of trading. NASDAQ is losing 18, the S&P 500 now down 6. But the dollar is bouncing back after dropping sharply early on today on news that the nation's trade gap, the difference between imports and exports, grew more than expected to the second highest level on record. That news pulled the dollar down over 0.5% to flirt with its all-time low against the euro. But the buck has since recovered that loss, moving up a fraction. And that's saying something after investors were hit with another shot of bad news, this one from the University of Michigan, whose consumer sentiment index fell more than expected this month. Tomorrow, the biggest day of the year for boxed chocolate sales, according to the National Confectioners Association. But investors aren't too sweet on chocolate stocks. Godiva parent Campbell's down 15 cents. Hershey is losing a half dollar. I'm Joe Matthew in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Michael Reagan. Stay tuned. My show is coming up at 6:05 following Doug Kellett on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:41 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club, yours until 3 o'clock. We are doing the Valentine's Day edition of Enid Live, the one that John Ensler.
Ensler. You're mixing your guests are merging together, Enid.
You know they are, and I apologize to you, John Ensler.
Okay.
Where is the dwarf? That was Lendorf.
Yeah, we're both kind of shaped the same way, so maybe that's we're kind of dwarfian.
I think it's I've been having somebody must have been spiking my coke.
No, here. I know we're endomorphs. That's it.
No, John Ensler, president of the Denver Press Club, and he also produces our Press Club shows. He's a reporter for the Rocky Mountain News and Dave Magoya, Denver Post. Both of them competing on the same story.
That's right.
Let's hear it, Dave. What is the story that everybody that you two are competing on? Going head to head on.
I write and John follows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
give me a break.
What's the story?
University of Colorado.
Yeah,
University of Colorado. Sports.
Sports and sex, rock and roll.
Sports and more sports.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Well, we don't know what kind of music they're listening to, but there's a lot of fun stuff going on.
Give us the latest.
Well, the latest. What is
I
the
think
latest?
Joyce Lawrence.
You guys have a paper tomorrow. So.
Yeah, I know.
You got to give it up, David.
You'll have to pay a dollar.
You get to give it up. That's
Mary Keenan, who's the Boulder County DA,
right?
And Elizabeth Hoffman, the president of CU, had a meeting. Kind of a girl-to-girl talk, woman-to-woman talk.
Manicures too.
Yeah, and just to kind of deal, you know, straight with each other.
Right.
And the only problem is, though, they both come out of that meeting with completely different accounts. Of, you know,
was there not a tape recorder going?
No, and it was a private meeting, but the problem is kind of illustrated by the take that each of them had on who said what.
What was the take that Mary Keenan had, and what was the take that that Dr. Hoffman had?
Well, we reported yesterday. Yes, that's right, because you reported today. We reported yesterday that
take
Betsy...
that knife and twist it just one more time, will you, Dave?
Oh, that's quite all right. We reported yesterday that President Hoffman said she had a meeting with Keenan, which Keenan suggested, rather in strong terms, to settle the case. Hoffman had made it clear through Keenan as well, saying that they weren't the girls that had sued, were not looking, the women that sued, had not looking for money, but in fact changes to policy at the university, in which President Hoffman said we'd be happy to make changes and settle the case as long as money wasn't involved. The practical application there is that you have to first pull back the lawsuit, you have to cancel it, so to say, so this way they can discuss what sort of settlement terms. Now, apparently, in today's...
So the lawsuit has to be nullified in some way.
That's right.
In order for settlement to be discussed.
That's right.
But if you pull back on the lawsuit, you have no guarantee that there will be a settlement.
Well, and
that's a very risky position.
From a legal position for the university, it makes perfect sense.
Of course, they don't want the lawsuit.
Well, they can't admit to anything while the lawsuit's pending. So to
they're shocked that this kind of thing goes on.
Well, so then today, John's folks had a different take on what the conversations
were. What did your paper report?
We talked to Mary Keenan, and her basic position is that, you know, they had this talk that she was not urging it. She was not urging a settlement, she said, but that she just had some straight talk for Elizabeth Hoffman. By the way, David must live in one of those outlying regions because he must have not gotten the late final where we had the same story he had. And as in baseball and journalism, the tie goes to the runner, David.
That's true. Of course, after, what is it? That's right. The story got promoted on the local news channel at 10 o'clock.
That's right, and the Rocky had it the next day.
Within a half an hour, very nicely
done. It was very nice. My colleague Lynn Bartles is amazing.
All right, so where is it now? You're going to come out with something tomorrow, you think, in the
That would be good.
In the combined?
That would be.
You're not,
I'll have a problem with that.
It's the combined. What happens when you want to break something on a Saturday? You have to wait till Sunday?
Pretty much.
We also have the web pages, so denverpost.com.
Yeah.
So you can break it on the web, and then they can run it in the Saturday edition of the Rocky.
Well, we also run a Bulldog edition, the early edition of the Sunday paper, which oftentimes we'll try to break news on Saturdays.
Which the reporters of the Rocky read.
Of course. All right, so what's the next
podcast? Well, the next thing is Monday. Monday is going to be interesting.
What's going to happen on Monday?
Well, the Board of Regents, who oversee the system, they have a public meeting. They have to whittle down a list of 160-some-odd names that have been suggested or passed along to them as people would be good to be outside, independent, impartial
investigators. Keenan was on that list. Wasn't she?
Yeah, I think.
Oh,
and
yes.
And the producer, too.
Joe Anderson.
Everybody was on this list.
Mo, Larry, Curly.
Everyone was on this list.
Let me ask you. The Rocky came out saying that Joyce Lawrence ought to be disappeared from heading up. She ought to resign from heading up the investigation because of the remarks that she's made. And I agree with that. I thought her remarks were really intemperate for somebody in that position.
Yeah.
Not that she was wrong exactly.
Just to draw a distinction. I'm a reporter.
No, I know. I'm talking about the editorial pages, which
good.
And there's a firewall there between church and state.
Yeah.
But is there a lot of sentiment building for that, and will it happen, do you think?
Joyce was quoted as saying, hey, look, I've toughed out tougher storms in the legislature, and that appears to be the case. I mean, she's going to tough this out.
Well, you knew the criticism was going to come out right away
for
having co-chairs. And it's why, I mean, even if it, even Peggy Lamb herself was, I mean, she's, I've known Peggy for a few years, and she's a great lady.
Is she related to former Governor Lamb?
She is. A former, that's her former brother-in-law.
Right.
Her former brother-in-law.
Sure. So you knew as soon as Peggy got named to it, regardless of her credentials, that
you
she was going to see some controversy and questioning. So when you name two people, you know it was going to be double-sided all the way through. It was bound to happen.
I did like Dick Lamb's quote, though. He's like the Peggy Lamb fan club in Denver chapter.
<Yes. laughs>
I mean, how could this thing have been festering for all these years and nothing was done until Owens finally writes a letter saying, look, if you don't, reportedly a scathing letter, if you don't do something, says to the university, if you don't do something about these allegations of rapes and so on, all these recruiting devices, alleged recruiting devices for athletes, we will do something. This apparently goes on everywhere in all the universities.
You know what's different here, though?
What?
We were talking about this morning.
They've all got deniability, apparently.
No. What's different is I've never seen a case, and David, have you, where a local prosecutor weighs in on a civil case like this?
Not to the degree that Mary Keenan has. I mean, I covered and helped uncover some of the booster scandal at University of Michigan basketball a few years ago when I worked for the Detroit Free
Press. My school, Michigan.
And we dealt with the
Go
Fab
Blue.
Five and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that one doesn't even compare to what's going on with this. I mean, there are so many facets to it, but I think the one concern.
It doesn't compare in what way? It was a more complicated case at Michigan, or
no,
it's more complicated here?
This one's much more complicated because the line is very fuzzy. It's the line.
Well, I think it's deliberately fuzzy in order for people to create the impression that they don't know anything about it. You know, deniability.
Well, it's not necessarily just deniability. What we are talking about is, does this rise to the level of either a criminal activity, which you hear a lot of that going around, or to which depths of NCAA violations are we talking about? And Michigan was much different. We had boosters giving money to players, benefits that are just far and beyond what's allowed. Here, it's the allegation of sex in order to entice recruits, but who's paying for it and when, and the players, what did they know, what the coaches know, and it's more of a matter of knowledge and morality rather than the money, although the money part of it is still in question. We don't know.
The money part of it happens on the other end, because what is the athletic department responsible for in the way of revenues? How much are they responsible for? How many millions of dollars? Does anybody know? Do we have a ballpark
figure? At this university?
Yeah, at CU.
I would imagine several million dollars, but I don't.
Oh, I think lots of millions of dollars.
I don't claim to know that either.
Yeah. But
I think that's why they've been compartmentalized and there's a hands off. They're responsible for a lot of dough.
But unlike a lot of universities, this, I don't believe it to be a money making enterprise. If this athletic department breaks even or slightly above, that would probably be pretty good.
So then,
for
what
this
is it? Glory and prestige for the university? Is that the way they see the athletic department?
For which
CU,
as far as their recruiting is concerned,
in general, the football program.
I mean, it's a Division I school, so they certainly treat it with the kid gloves that it probably deserves in that respect.
I think there's a good financial story there. I really think there's a wonderful financial story about what the revenues are.
Well, the question, sir, when it comes to the money, Hirina, the question has to be, if university funds were used, and again, that's presuming that escort services were hired for recruits, specifically recruits, not just for the
players,
which is a big presumption, right?
Right. What if no university money? What if they managed to do it so that it was only private funds that happened that were
used?
But
that's another problem, though. Who's private funds? And then that if it's, again, you have to presume that the backside of that deal was done, that escorts were being hired, prostitutes were being hired for recruits in order to entice them to sign with the school. That alone is not necessarily an NCAA violation. Their rules are very obscure on that. That could fall into.
You can't have a marching band.
Well, that's excessive entertainment.
What do you mean?
Excessive entertainment.
What do you mean you can't have a marching band?
Well, you can't greet the recruit at the train station with a marching band.
Right.
Well, only if it's made up of prostitutes.
No.
And the only instruments they use, well, we won't go there.
No.
But it's not necessarily a violation to hire the prostitute. But it could be. If the university used more than $30 $1,000. Yeah. I mean, it's a very fuzzy area.
Let's cut to the quick, too, because, you know as well as I, there's a lot of doubt over the veracity of or reliability of this story that came out about the escort service. I mean, neither paper has proven anything, and the police department's still trying to get to the bottom of it.
Which has been part of my question, where precisely is the crime, if there is a crime?
Right.
Well, it's a crime. Let's say there was no crime per se, there was no money violation. But I think that it's a question of morality. It's a question of what a university stands for.
True, but then where's the place of the Broomfield Police Department to be investigating if there's no crime? Isn't that the purview of the police department?
Why is the Broomfield Police Department investigating? What are they doing?
Well, they had announced that they are conducting an investigation into an alleged escort service with possible ties to the CU Athletic Department.
Okay, well, so their focus of their investigation is the escort service.
Of course. But again, as John pointed out, I mean, a lot of that is in question as to whether or not it still exists. Does it not exist?
Is it a made-up story? Is it real?
And then if it does have ties to CU...
See, this is what I think is so intriguing.
Crime?
I did a piece on Valentine's Day. And here we are drinking from the same... This is a long time ago it was published. Drinking from the same stale trough of ideas of what constitutes romance. And again, here we are drinking from the same stale trough of ideas of what constitutes that which will attract a recruit. It's going to be prostitution. It's going to be drugs.
Booze.
It's going to be booze. Yeah. What else? There are about three or four things here. And then everybody, and then we use sex to sell you everything, but God forbid you should try to buy it legally, except for a few counties in Nevada. You can forget about it. So here's the escort service. You've got cops busting escort service. The Broomfield Police Department, apparently they don't have much to do there.
Sure.
So they're trying to bust the escort service that And
may or may not exist.
The alleged ties to the university.
Well, the Rocky Mountain
and everybody professes not to know that this is going on, when in fact it seems to go on in all the major schools.
Take a difference, though. The Rocky Mountain News published a story, front page story, mind you, of an outfit of dancers, the Hard Bodies outfit, in which they said they were hired to provide strippers to a room full of young fellas, etc. Then another story that was written is that Coach Barnett disciplined at least one of his players for self-admitting that he took a recruit to a strip joint, a topless joint, in presumably Boulder. There's only one. Again,
is it illegal to go to a topless joint? I mean, how old do you have to be to go to a topless joint? 18?
I think it was an 18 and over. And if correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't the guy under 18?
This is a legal business. What
true,
is this?
True, but is the 18 and over the ability to go into a topless place to view or to go into the topless place to consume alcohol?
Yeah. Well, how old do you have to be for alcohol? 21?
Yeah,
see, what is this, like a Eugene Dilbeck moment?
No.
This is so depressing.
This is different, though, because now you've got the coach saying he's going to make a list up of places the recruits can't go, and obviously the bus stop, which is the place we're talking about.
So all the places he's going to make a list of all the places you can't go, to the whorehouse, to the escort service, to East Colfax, and then the girls will find the places where you're allowed to go. You know, Whopper will have new definition.
It's a very complicated story because it's extremely difficult to put your hand on precisely what's wrong here.
Which is exactly.
Is it a crime or is it merely an issue of morality?
Right.
It's an issue of self-control or loss of control.
How about hypocrisy as well? Let's just throw that into the mix. Morality, hypocrisy, what does a university stand for? When the revenues are excessive or the prestige is, to what extent does that undercut the university's mission?
You know what's interesting? I talked to Gordon Gee. Do you have time?
Yeah, just a couple seconds.
Okay, we'll save it.
And can you summarize it about one second?
Gordon
Gee, former CU president, now at Vanderbilt, did away with the athletic department, says that intercollegiate athletics is off the kilter. I mean, it's got to be fixed within 5 years or it's going in the ditch, he said.
Oh, well, there it is. In other words, fix it or forget it.
Yeah.
John Enslin, Rocky Mountain News, thank you so much. Dave Magoya, Denver Post, thank you so much.
Always
a pleasure.
Always fun.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony and the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Experience a different side to the Colorado Symphony Orchestra with Dracula Frankenstein on February 18th and get your chance to play a theremin. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. To get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
Listen up, men. Insight, the once-a-day tablet for natural male enhancement, powers into 2004 as a NASCAR team sponsor. And now, while supplies last, Team Insight is giving away free 30-day samples. To get a free 30-day sample box, just log on to 4insight.com. That's the number 4, E-N-Z-Y-T-E.com. Or call 1-800-778-5290. Look for the number 50 car and experience natural male enhancement with a free sample box of Insight. Call 1-800-778-5290. 1-800-778-5290.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Can you spare just two mornings or afternoons a month? Register now for volunteer orientation at the Molly Brown House Museum. Informational sessions will be held March 2nd at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Each session lasts 1.5 hours and includes a museum tour and a gathering with current volunteers. Become a museum tour guide, outreach speaker, cook, or serve Victorian parlor teas. To learn more about volunteering at the Molly Brown House, call 303-832-4092 or go to www.mollybrown.org.
When the unexpected happens, OnStar gives you and your family the safety and security you deserve. Just push a button and OnStar advisors are ready to help. OnStar, always there, always ready.
Denver is the third worst traffic city in America.
Traffic.
But we make it easier with Lalani Larson mornings and Darren Copeland afternoons.
It's too good to be true.
Listen to their traffic reports at least four times an hour on AM 1150 KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lord Almighty, feel my temperature rising. Higher, higher, it's burning through to my soul. Girl,
159 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. We just have a couple of seconds here in this hour, but one more hour of Enid, the Valentine's Day show. We're coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. In the next hour, don't go anywhere. We're going to be talking to a tantric sex therapist, whatever that may mean, a speed dating organizer, and a stripper from the Diamond Cabaret. Oh, my goodness. Coming up on Enid Live right here on AM 1150 KNRC, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 42 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the NHL on ABC this Saturday afternoon. Northbound I-225 is closed just north of Mississippi because of a rollover accident. Aurora police say a Portalette truck filled with waste was involved in a one-car rollover. Only minor injuries were reported, but the highway has to be closed until at least 5 o'clock this afternoon to allow for cleanup. Aurora Police spokesman Rudy Herrera says it's not known why the truck rolled over. Drivers are being diverted off 225 onto Mississippi. To get back on the highway, follow the frontage road until it reconnects with the highway. A man who spent at least 20 minutes underwater in Broomfield today is clinging to life. It appears the man may have chased his dog onto the ice at Josh's Pond at Lockamora Park and then fell in. North Metro Fire spokeswoman Wendy Krajewski says right now investigators are just guessing how long the man had been underwater.
You know, we've just got estimates at this point from basically the time of dispatch call to time of actually retrieving him, and we're estimating approximately 20 minutes.
Krajewski says instances like this should serve as a reminder for everyone.
With the fluctuating temperature, there's no such thing as safe ice, so please try to remember that even if a pet does wander out onto the ice, call 911 and just simply wait for first responders to arrive. will be glad to assist, regardless if it's a person or a pet.
After rescuers pulled the man to shore, he was flown to the hospital. Anyone who wants to vote in this year's presidential caucus in Colorado needs to register by today. However, if you live in Denver, you can't go to the city offices because they're closed today. Instead, Denver voters can go to the Wells Fargo Bank branch at 2558 Welton Street until 5 o'clock this afternoon. The Denver city offices are closed today in the first of five furlough days that Mayor John Hickenlooper says will save the city an estimated $5 million this year and help to avoid layoffs of city employees. City offices will be closed Monday as well for the President's Day holiday. Who says love is for the young? One Denver business is determined to bring love to those 50 and over. Chris Kenny's Classic Connections is a matchmaking service designed specifically for singles over 50. Kenny says that she came up with the idea after talking to clients in her other matchmaking service.
We have so many clients who have been married, you know, for 30-plus years, or they're suddenly widowed. And where do they turn? It's very challenging. It's like, where do you turn? A lot of your friends are still married. They might have children still growing up. And it's very safe. It's very private.
Kenny says many of her Classic Connection clients approach the matchmaking service with a different mindset. She says while most of her clients in their 20s and 30s are looking to marry, most of her Classic clients simply want companionship. Kenny says the activities she arranges for her Classic clients tend to be more sophisticated and intimate. Four men, including home run king Barry Bonds' personal trainer, have pleaded not guilty to federal charges of distributing illegal steroids and human growth hormones. Greg Anderson is Bonds' trainer. He and the owner of Burlingame, California-based Balco Industries, Victor Conti, and two other men were indicted following an 18-month investigation. John Kerry has picked up another key endorsement for his presidential campaign.
As I learned to do in my years of service, I want to say, as we come to the Navy, we say, sir, request permission to come aboard. The Army's here.
Retired General Wesley Clark endorsed the Massachusetts senator today at a rally in Wisconsin. Clark says Kerry is the man who can beat President Bush this November, and he warned Democrats to brace themselves as the, quote, Republican mean machine cranks up their attacks on Kerry in the coming months. The United States is putting together a board to review the cases of prisoners held in Guantanamo Bay. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld announced the board's creation today during a speech in Miami. Rumsfeld also defended the Bush administration's policy of detaining suspected terrorists and enemy combatants at the U.S. Navy base. A Washington State National Guardsman is being detained after being accused of trying to pass military secrets to Al-Qaeda. Officials say 26-year-old Ryan Anderson conspired to help the terrorist network and was allegedly caught in a sting operation conducted by the Army, FBI, and Justice Department. Stocks were down across the board just before the close of today's session. The Dow down 58 points, NASDAQ down 16, the S&P 500 down nearly 7. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche off tonight. They'll be back on the ice in Detroit tomorrow against the Red Wings. Avs shut out the Blues 4-0 last night in St. Louis. Denver Nuggets have some time off, too. They're off for the NBA All-Star break this weekend. Nuggets will be back on the court at the Pepsi Center on Tuesday night to welcome the Philadelphia 76ers. Avs fans watch the NHL on ABC Saturday at 1. It's the most ferocious rivalry in sports. The Detroit Red Wings and Colorado Avalanche face off. NHL's top rivals only on ABC Saturday at 1. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
As America continues its war on terrorism, AM 1150 KNRC is here with you.
The only way to defeat terrorism as a threat to our way of life is to stop it, eliminate it, and destroy it where it grows.
We'll update you when the government issues an alert, and this is the best place to talk about it. Talk about it. Hear both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony shaving and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by JCPenney. And boy, it's just an ugly drive out there right now. Northbound 225 at Mississippi, we have a truck hauling porta potties that has rolled. That's closed 225 down for at least the next 2 hours. Southbound I-25 is going to be bad as well. Either side of I-25 from University down to the Tech Center and back is slow as well due to earlier accidents. It's a JCPenney President's Day sale going on now. Save 20% to 60% store-wide, plus an extra 15% off regular and sale prices with your JCPenney card. It's all inside JCPenney. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You're listening to the Anti-Rush Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Mike Stenefford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. A good-looking afternoon, partly sunny to mostly sunny and warmer. We'll get up to a high of 45. Tonight, fair skies down to 23. Another good-looking day on Saturday. Lots of sunshine, still warmer, high 48. Turning cloudy, colder Sunday. Sunday's high only around 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stenefford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 42 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. This is not only the pre-Valentine's Day edition, well, I'm calling it the Valentine's Day edition, even though it's tomorrow. Today is Friday the 13th, but it's a lucky day for all of us because we've been talking about love and romance and chocolates, and Fifth Avenue Chocolatier sent over some gorgeous truffles for us, and they are just fabulous. I have to say, these are not going to last very long. Joining us in this segment, Alaysha, she is a tantric sex therapist, and I think I have mispronounced your name. Have I got it close? Is it Alaysha?
Alaysha.
Alaysha. Alaysha, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Talk right into the microphone, Alaysha. Tell us, what does it mean to be a tantric sex therapist?
A tantric therapist and aids couples and individuals with connecting into your being in the highest state. Tantra simply means connecting mind, body, and spirit, and in that connection, becoming a more powerful being. Now, in the realms of intimacy, when you are fully connected into your own being, then you stand a much better chance of connecting to others as well. And in a lot of my seminars and workshops that I do, and individual workshops, it first teaches us how to connect to our body in the most spiritual way, and in that way, being more sensual. So people can learn anything from how to have 10-minute climaxes with their own body, how to achieve 10-minute climaxes simultaneous with their partners, how to just increase intimacy in their life, which is so lacking in our everyday relationships.
I've heard stories, and tantric sex seminars and so on were big in the Bay Area, which is where I used to live, that people would have orgasms that could last all day. Is that really true, or is that a little bit on the hyperbolic side?
Well, God bless them, but
yeah, really.
I aim for 10 to 20 minutes, and that will put a smile on your face the entire day.
Now, we have you described as a sex therapist. Is that a fair description?
Very much so.
What does that mean to be a sex therapist?
Well, a sex therapist, in essence, helping us to understand our own bodies, physiological workings, and how to better understand intimacy.
If a male comes to a psychologist or somebody and says, now there are all these drugs like Viagra and so forth, but he comes to a psychologist or psychiatrist and says, I have trouble getting it on with a woman. Are you called in to have sex sessions with this client?
What I do is teach them how to control their own bodies. I don't do.
But you don't actually have sex with them?
Oh, Lord, no.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering. I always wondered about that.
No,
not with you, but I mean just in general when people call themselves sex therapists. I think in some states they might. Maybe in California.
To clarify that, they're called sex surrogates. A therapist is one who helps you work through your problems.
What's the difference between a sex surrogate and a prostitute, exactly?
There's not.
Well, that's what I thought. One's legal and one's not. I don't get this.
Exactly. To clarify, I'm the therapist. I don't do surrogacy.
So you have seminars, and you work with men, you work with women.
Mm-hmm.
What do you find? I imagine, though, that you're getting a limited population. So you're getting people who have some sexual issues, or they wouldn't be coming to you in the first place, or they want to boost whatever's going on for them.
Right.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking about those Super Bowl ads for one of the, like, Viagra or Cialis or whatever it's, mm-hmm. I forget what they're called, where one of the side effects, the contraindications, is you could have a 4-hour erection, and if you do go to the doctor. So people come to you, and you're trying to get them in touch with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a life that is so high-powered for people that one of the first things that falls by the board is time. And sensuality takes a little bit of time. Friendship takes time. So the things that are time-intensive, really, we're just very hyped up on adrenaline levels, and to the point where the women's magazines are advising women, their readers, to pencil in sex with their beloved lest they forget about it altogether. So what observations, Alicia, can you make about that, in your role as a tantric sex therapist?
My observations mainly are that time is a main factor for us, and that's why after 13 years of teaching this, I've designed a program that if you can give yourself 10 minutes out of your day, that you can have amazing, long-lasting climactic waves. And once you learn how to have these climactic waves with your own body, whether you have a partner or not, you know, you're going to walk around with a smile on your face. You're going to be more connected. You're going to be more connected to other people. And then if you do have a relationship, then it's going to take it to another level.
Well, there's some research that indicates that if you have more orgasms, you live longer. Is that true? Do you know anything
about
that?
I know a lot about that.
Well, maybe it just seems longer. I don't know. But
longer and happier.
You live happier. Well, you might not live longer.
Quality of life.
There's that old vaudeville joke about the man who's not feeling well, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says you have to give up sex, and you have to give up chocolate, and you have to give up rich foods, and, you know, it makes him give up 10 other things, and the guy just looks at him in amazement. He said, "Doctor, will I live longer?" The doctor said, "No." He said, "But it'll just seem longer."
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, all right. So, people give themselves 10 minutes a day, and what are they supposed to do in that 10 minutes? Can we say on a family radio show, Alicia? Tantric sex therapist?
There's three components to the Tantra, what I developed called the 101. And it's simply a breathing technique of breathing into your sacred area, rocking the pelvis into the rhythm of the breath. And then if it's a male, it's a rhythmic stroking. If it's a female, it's a rhythmic strumming. And the breathing is a very deep vibrational kind of breath, the yummy noises that we make normally in the thralls of passion, and we use it to instigate these wonderful vibrations right off the bat. So there's no question in your mind that each and every single time that you have intimacy, whether it's with your own body or a partner's, that you're going to be rocking and rolling. It's going to be absolutely awesome.
Strumming and stroking.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're happy that Janet Jackson's not with us, and I got on the internet how to revive a fading career. I already said this once, but it bears repeating, I think. There was a picture of Miss Piggy flashing her right breast. All right, here we are on the eve of Valentine's Day, where men are going to be expected to be even more romantic than usual, and usually they don't know what to do. I have befuddled men. I remember last year's Valentine's Day show. It was toward the end of the day, and a befuddled man called, "What do? I haven't done anything for Valentine's Day." I said, "Well, stop at the grocery store or someplace and just get some beautiful flowers, repackage them, strip off that ugly cellophane, repackage them with nice tissue paper and maybe some ribbon. Flowers are always lovely." What counsel would you give a man trying to be more romantic when we are really not living in a very gallant, romantic, or even honorable time?
My advice in each and every session that I do is to do what's called date night. And for Tantra is about intimacy the entire year and not just this wonderful day. And that's what we're so lacking. And I ask them to do three things. Get some romantic lovemaking music, light at least 3 candles, set the atmosphere, and then get some massage oil. And when you bring your beloved in to lay them down and to go through the ritual, you've got candles burning, you've got the music playing that maybe you listened to 10 years ago.
But I have a more preliminary step than that.
All right.
Because that's cuts to this chase way too quick. I'll tell you what I think is even more better.
All right.
More better is if the man and the woman are together, and one of the most intimate things you can do with each other is to listen deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really feel like you are heard, and when you people don't have to tell you that they love you. You know who mm-hmm. likes you, and you know who doesn't like you, even mm-hmm. though they don't say I don't like you. You just know who does. And when you have that energy going of really sharing, listening, whatever happened during that day, then I think that sets the stage for everything that follows next.
And that's a fabulous observation on your part. Another thing that I ask all the men that come in is, how many times have you held her hand? How many times have you whispered in her ear? How many times have you just hugged her? Because one of the biggest things in this country that is so lacking is our touch, touching one another, to where when people have been married for a while or children come into the relationship, and we tend to not hug or touch each other because we think it's going to go to the next level. And so we start backing off of intimacy more and more each year. And the more we're touch starved, then the intimacy just kind of fades, and it's very difficult then to get it back or to win that person back over. And so in all of the initial teachings that I start with, I always ask my couples, you know, how much are you holding hands? How much are you asking how their day went, and really sitting down and looking at them?
You know, Elisa, I just got back from Venice, from Italy, and just watching people on the street walking so easily with each other. There was mm-hmm. such an ease. Men and women, women and women, older women, younger women, they walk arm in arm, and it doesn't have a sexual connotation. Men and men talking. But there was, I was struck by such an ease and such a, something that we've lost in this country because we're so busy, we don't make much eye contact. It's more of an abrasive kind of thing that we have going on here. But here they were walking more leisurely and clearly enjoying each other. And this wasn't just one couple or two couples.
Mm-hmm.
This was just the way people did business in Italy.
And
I thought, I think we used to do this and we've lost it.
We have. We very much have. And so all of my teachings, no matter how complicated or simple that they are, that's the very first thing that I start bringing, you know, into the conversation and into the subject is, you know, if you can start at that level, then the other teachings will be so much easier.
That's right. You can relax into the moment. Alicia, tantric sex therapist, thank
yes.
you so much for your Valentine's Day gift
yes,
of joining us today.
That.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. And even though it's Friday the 13th, it's a very lucky day.
Most people come from one school of thought. Welcome to the beauty of both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Do you know the story? It's about a war. The very worst kind. It ripped apart our country, set American against American, North against South, free against slave. Now John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, brings to life the story of the Civil War. You meet Lincoln and Davis. You hear from Southern belles and Northern ladies. You sit across from slave traders as well as freedom fighters. You see the world through the eyes of a Yankee soldier and his Confederate counterpart. John Brown's Body transports you to the most troubled chapter in our country's history and gives voice to the human experience behind the facts and dates. John Brown's Body plays January 29th through February 28th at the Denver Center Theater Company. Do you know the story? The whole story?
Visit denvercenter.org or call 303-893-4100 today for your tickets.
Yanni's, your favorite Greek restaurant for that special Valentine. Yanni's is offering a 5-course dinner for just $49.95 with champagne and a flower for the ladies. Call Yanni's today for reservations at 303-692-0404. The best authentic Greek food is Yanni's Greek Taverna, located at the Villa Monaco Shopping Center on the corner of Evans and Monaco. Throughout Greece, you'll find the traditional taverna or family-run eating establishment located in the main square or by the harbor. Denver has its own special taverna, Yanni's Greek Taverna. If you love to have traditional Greek-style served food while celebrating a birth, a baptism, or a wedding, the Greeks will gather at the taverna to eat and dance, expressing their joy through eating baklava or drinking ouzo and watching the world pass by. Visit Yanni's Greek Taverna, or for more information, call them at 303-692-0404. Call 303-692-0404. That's Yanni's Greek Taverna, where the ouzo flows freely on the corner of Evans and Monaco Parkway in the Villa Monaco Shopping Center. Call Yanni's today at 303-692-0404. Again, that's 303-692-0404. Opa!
For 12 years, the Radio Disney All About Kids Expo has provided exciting and fun entertainment for the whole family. Mark your calendar now for Saturday, February 21st and Sunday, February 22nd to be at the Colorado Convention Center for this great kids event. Showcasing games such as the Diaper Derby, Miniature Golf, and other great kids activities, the Expo features nonstop interactive fun for kids ages 1 to 14. Admission for kids 14 and under is free with a paid adult. For more information on the All About Kids Expo, go to www.all-about-kids.org. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Enid Goldstein, weekdays at noon.
Things we women have to do for these kids.
I don't always agree, but I always listen.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Hallett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:22 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. It's the Valentine's edition and the Friday the 13th edition, all rolled into one, and we're having a lot of fun here. And joining us in this segment is Carrie Hebert. She is a speed dating. Do I have that right?
It's Hebert.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hebert.
Okay. It's a French name.
Yes, it is. Talk right into the microphone. Go
okay.
Right there. Okay. Speed dating organizer, which means what exactly?
Well, I work down at the Hornet Restaurant on 1st and Broadway.
Real close to the microphone.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm at the Hornet Restaurant on 1st and Broadway. This year, for Valentine's Day, what we decided to do, because we're a neighborhood pub, we're not a huge destination for couples for dinner because we're not a super foo-foo place, we decided to target singles to come in and do speed dating. Speed dating is something that's kind of swept the country, and it was invented by a rabbi in Los Angeles.
I thought in San Francisco.
In Los Angeles in the 90s.
Okay.
And his congregation actually still has the... His congregation still has the trademark name on speed dating that is all one name, speed dating, although people are doing it all over the country, and there are, you know, independent businesses doing it. What we're doing is we're getting together singles. We're getting together about 8 men and 8 women. We're matching them up roughly by age. And
but tell us what speed dating is.
It's when about anywhere from 6 to 8 men and women get matched up, and it's... What do they call it? Romantic musical chairs.
You just talk to each other for what? 3-4 minutes? What is
about, it? 3-4 is a little short. It's about 8 minutes.
Now what happens? All right, give us an example, because I've heard about it, I've read about it, I've never experienced it. So you go to the Hornet Restaurant at 1st and Broadway.
Exactly.
Which is what, one Sunday a month? Is that what you're doing?
Right. You come in, you sign up, you have to have an email address. Because that's, I think it's kind of contingent on the email address.
But you don't know anything about that person. Nobody knows anything.
No.
About. So somebody comes in and all they have to have is an email address.
Right.
And they show up. And then what? So you've got roughly how many men, how many women?
I usually have about 8 men and 8 women.
So give me the drill. You walk in, you sign up, and now what happens?
Well, the first thing we do is we give you a common sense waiver that says, although we can't control what you do, we recommend you not give last names. We recommend if you're a nurse, you can say you're a nurse, but don't say you work at Denver Health. You know, don't get too specific.
So, all right, so protect yourself.
Exactly.
Now that we've cleared that off, now what happens?
Now what happens is you get a number that you wear proudly on your chest, and you're allowed to, of course, use your first name. There are 8 tables labeled 1 through 8. The men sit in one place, and I usually have the women rotate because just for a change.
Okay, so the men sit in one place, and the women rotate.
Right, there's a bell that goes
off. How many people at a table?
2.
Oh, and one and two women? Two women, two men, or just one of each?
There's a man and a woman at each table, and the tables are spaced apart.
And
enough.
The men stay there, but the women move.
That's correct.
So it's like musical chairs.
Exactly.
All right. So then they sit there, and they talk for 8 minutes, and then a buzzer goes off or something, and
that's right.
Time to move on?
I suggest people have anywhere from 3 to 5 questions for the other person, and try to think of creative questions. You don't want to be asked what you do for a living 8 times in a row. You know, some fun questions. And they discuss things for about 8 minutes.
What
and then,
kind of fun questions do you think are good?
I don't know. It depends on the person and your level of humor. You know, I mean, you know, what kind of music
you
do you
know what
like?
I would ask? I would violate all the rules here. I would, if I were sitting at a table, I want to know, what is this? Who is he? What does he do?
Mm-hmm.
And you could start, then you start to get some, you, because what people do is a very, very often a very large part of who they are. So you figure out what he's doing and that leads to other questions.
It leads to who's your favorite Beatle.
Is that one of the questions?
No, it doesn't have to be.
Oh, that's disappointing. I don't like that question.
You don't like that question?
No.
Then you don't have to have that question.
No, I'm not going to have that question.
All right.
What other questions do you have?
The people make up their own questions.
Okay.
So it's not up to us to make up the question.
What question
would you want to ask somebody if you had three questions?
I want to know who they are. And there are a lot of ways of finding out who they are, many of them nonverbal. In other words, when you just see the way they answer a question, what they don't say is often as, and perhaps even more important than what they do say, or how they say it, or how they answer the question.
Sure.
So you can walk away with a ton of information very quickly. First impressions really, really do have a lot of impact, I think.
They do, and they say all 97% or something of all communication is nonverbal anyway. So the way people are going to sit, the way people are going
to
position themselves and smile at you or not smile at you certainly will say a lot.
Yes, and if they're pierced and have a lot of tattoos and things like that. So how is this thing taking off at the Hornet?
I'll tell you, tomorrow, Saturday, is going to be our first. It's going to be our kickoff. We have...
On Valentine's Day, people are going to do speed dating because they're going to admit in public that they don't actually have somebody to lard them up with chocolate and...
Well, I'll tell you, before I was married, my girlfriends and I used to wear black armbands on Valentine's Day just in protest. Because, you know, nobody ever really has a date for Valentine's Day. It's a tiny percentage.
It's like a Hallmark holiday.
It's horrible for most people. So most people want to protest it. And at the Hornet, we thought it would be kind of a fun way of getting singles in, having a really good time. And pretty much it's just 8 introductions.
Okay, so it has happened. I mean, you have had these speed dating events in the past.
Or you are
only beginning to do this?
We are kicking it off tomorrow night.
Oh, so we don't know how successful this is going to be, but you were telling me that it was very successful.
It's successful because when we placed the ad in the paper, we were worried that we would even have 8 men and 8 women call. We've had over 40. So we have a feeling it's going to be very successful.
And what are the ages? Are you saying that you have to be a certain age? I mean, if all 40 want to come, can they do that?
40 can come if they want. They can't date that night. We don't have the time and we don't have the space. We have the time and space on tomorrow night for 8 men and 8 women who are already registered.
But can other people just watch this process go on, even if they don't participate in it?
They can kind of watch. We have a back room at the Hornet where we're going to set up the 8 tables. So it'll be semi-private. But after an hour, when they're finished, they'll come out into the main dining room and mingle. And
had you ever participated, Carrie, in this activity anyplace else? When you were single, did you ever do speed dating at all?
I didn't. I met my husband the old-fashioned way at a bar.
We just had Jack Cox on from the Denver Post who said people are not meeting in bars anymore.
Well, sorry, Jack.
How did you know what you were getting in a bar?
I didn't. I just talked to him and figured out he was a nice person and then met up with him a week later and we had coffee and it worked out.
How long have you been married?
About 2 years.
So what advice would you give speed daters? And are they of all ages? When you were taking the reservations, did you find out what the range was of age?
I was surprised at how many people over 40 called. Many, many people over 40 called. My aim was to get people between 25 and 35.
Right.
And that's what we've set up for tomorrow night.
Between 25 and 35?
Mm-hmm.
But they can easily meet each other. You want to have... and they don't spend as much as people over... And this is the whole idea, is to spend money.
Right. And in the future, certainly, that's what we found, is that... an over 40 demographic we're definitely looking into in the future because we think Oh, we think it's going to be tremendously successful.
So, all right, so then this is something where, what advice would you give three daters?
Here's what advice I would give them, and it's the same advice I give to my girlfriends and to my guy friends. And it's actually advice someone gave me a long time ago. You don't know who you're going to fall in love with. You know, people will tell you all day long exactly who they're going to fall in love with, and they're usually single and they're looking. Open your mind, you know. You don't know who it's going to be.
You know, there are a lot of stories around. I can envision it and I can't envision it. I know who I like right away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think whether people have grown on me that I might not have liked so well in the beginning. I mean, there's always that possibility. And then there are people that you love right away,
yeah,
and you can fall in love right away, and then the longer you get to know somebody, the less you may respect them. There is that.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. When I met my husband, I didn't fall right over. I really didn't, and that seems so very unromantic to some people. But I, you know what I really thought, honestly? I thought, gosh, he's a nice guy. I wonder if I have a friend I could set him up with.
How did you decide that you were going to be the one to be set up with?
It was like the second time. The first time we just went out for coffee and just hung out. And it was the second time we went out where we actually went out at night. And I don't know. It's just silly. He reached over and held my hand. And there was just a moment that I thought, oh.
Did you know that you might marry him?
No.
You had no idea?
No.
Not that early?
No.
Because there are a lot of people who tell me that they meet somebody, and without really knowing them, it's just one of those moments. I don't know what you're... I can't read your writing, Joe.
Okay.
He's writing me a note. He's practicing. His handwriting is practicing for speed dating. people say that they know immediately that they're going to marry somebody, but that was not your experience.
It's not, and you know what? I think that's really getting in the way of a lot of people. I think it's a lovely notion. If it happens, I'm all for it. But I think it's really getting in the way, because what people are waiting for now is, oh, I'm going to see somebody and it's going to be, you know, stars and I'm going to be hit over the head. Stop that. Stop and take 5 minutes.
True.
And talk,
I think people,
you know,
have been reading too many novels and watching too many films. I don't think that's how it is.
I agree completely.
Although for a lot of my life, I really did think that that's what that was.
So did I.
But I think that finding somebody that you respect, you like, you can stand to be around, who makes you laugh, all the things that you look for in a friendship, really.
Well, also, people think that the fireworks will never come later if they don't come in the first 4 seconds. And I am here to tell you that is not the truth.
Well, fireworks last, if you're lucky, 3 years at the outset.
Right.
And then after that, everybody's signing up for Viagra and sex, tantric sex therapists.
What's that called, the honeymoon period or something?
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, maybe I'm overly cynical, but I like what Lily Tomlin says, and she says no matter how cynical she is, she can't keep up. So your advice for our speed daters, leave yourself open.
Open. Smile at people.
Smile.
Let people know who you are.
Maybe these people could be your friends, even if you don't fall in love with them.
And maybe they have a friend you could fall in love with.
Oh, that's good.
Because you know what you're really doing? You're networking and you're meeting people. What if you met somebody you thought was really great, but there, you know, there just was no chemistry, and yet they were the kind of person you really like to hang around with? They have similar interests. What you need to think is they've got a whole group of friends. You don't know who their friends are. One of their friends could be somebody that you end up spending the rest of your life with.
Well, what is chemistry anyway?
I don't know.
We don't know. Thank you so much for joining us today. Carrie Hebert.
Hebert.
Speed dating organizer.
That's
and this
right.
is going to happen where? At the
and,
Hornet?
And miracle worker in general.
And miracle worker. And
we're going to be at the Hornet at 76 Broadway. We're a stone's throw from the Mayan Theater. And we encourage people to call and to come down and join us.
Well, things are going to be definitely buzzing at the Hornet. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. 2:34, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 41 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Post News Home Buyer Fair. I-225 is a mess this afternoon, literally. A truck carrying porta-potties rolled over just north of Mississippi, and that shut down the northbound lanes of 225 until maybe about 5 this afternoon while they clean up that mess, drivers being diverted to Mississippi and then to the frontage road. A man is clinging to life this afternoon after falling through the ice at Josh's Pond at Lockamora Park in Broomfield. The man was in the water for at least 20 minutes before being pulled to the shore by rescue crews from North Metro Fire. It's believed the man may have tried to rescue a dog which had ventured out onto the ice. The victim was flown to the hospital. One person is dead, another in custody following a fire near Ogden and 23rd today. Firefighters found one person dead when they arrived to battle a blaze at an apartment house this morning. A short time later, police responded to a call a few blocks away and found one person burned, and they suspect he was burned from the fire. They arrested another person at that second home. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche both have the night off tonight. Nuggets are off for the NBA All-Star break, while the Avs are heading to Detroit to play the Red Wings tomorrow afternoon. Looking for a new home? Come to the first ever Post News Home Buyer Fair, Saturday, February 21st at Invesco Field, featuring the latest home buying options, exhibits, seminars, and more. It's going to be big. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:36.
From Estes Park to Colorado Springs, from Golden to Aurora, hear Denver's most entertaining talk personalities exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Blue Moon Floral is Denver's best bet for great deals on flowers for Valentine's Day. Their Valentine special features 2 dozen loose wrapped roses, cash and carry, available for only $24.99. Blue Moon also has a wide variety of plants, gifts, chocolates, stuffed animals, balloons, and more, in addition to a great selection of beautiful fresh flowers. Blue Moon Floral also offers delivery services for Metro Denver and the surrounding suburbs. They're located at 300 East 6th Avenue at Grant Street, or call and place your order at 303-778-7220. That's 303-778-7220. Blue Moon Floral, arranging flowers, gifts, and even deliveries to make your Valentine's Day special.
So yesterday, I was looking at houses online, and all of a sudden, bam, a pop-up window selling pizza took over my computer screen. I can't deal with pepperoni at a time like this. Not when I'm trying to find a house.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage reduces your house hunting anxiety with online resources that offer detailed information at the local level. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
KNRC News Time is 2:37. Time to check the roads. Here's Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Well, 225 is obviously a tough drive. Northbound I-25 at Mississippi. This traffic report brought to you by John Elway Auto Nation. That's closed due to a rolled-over porta-potty truck. We also have some slowing southbound 225 approaching that place. We also have some slowing northbound and southbound I-25 between University and the Tech Center. Watch for that. Not a reason. Just too many cars, not enough road. At all John Elway showrooms, get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. No worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the mornings beginning at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Mike Stiniford with the KNRC forecast and the Weather Channel. Our skies will range from partly sunny to mostly sunny this afternoon. Going to be warmer, too, as we get up to a high of 45. Tonight, fair skies down at 23 and a beautiful day on Saturday. Sunshine even warmer, high 48. Changes on Sunday, turning cloudy and colder. Sunday's high only around 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stiniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 41 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:38. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm tired. I'm stressed. I want to be pampered, and I don't want to have to go to some expensive spa to do it.
That whining woman you just heard is Evelinda Ehrman, and I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live. In order to shut Evelinda up, I bought her a gift certificate to Salon Mercedes, a full-service salon near the Denver Tech Center, I-25 and Orchard. The staff is so well-trained, experienced, and friendly, they'll even put up with her whining.
Thank you. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Look what I can choose from. A new haircut in color, waxes, microdermabrasion. I like this Take Yourself Away package that gives me a manicure, pedicure, massage, and facial.
You need it, honey. Your roots are showing and your nails are chipped.
Nice of you to notice.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 and Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7. Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. 303-741-0606. Treat yourself and everyone on your list to a Salon Mercedes gift certificate. 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages wrapped up the week in the minus column. Analysts say the sell-off was sparked by a weaker-than-expected report on consumer confidence. Another report showed the U.S. trade deficit growing nearly 11% last month, more than forecast. The Dow Industrials fell 66 points to 10,628. The Nasdaq slid 20 points to 2054. The S&P 500 lost 6 points to 1146. Big board volume was about 1.3 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by a roughly 5-3 margin. Disney snapped a 2-day surge after Comcast's unsolicited $66 billion takeover bid. The stock was the Dow's biggest percentage drag, sliding about 4%. Analysts also tell MarketWatch.com's John Friedman they think Disney could turn the tables and launch its own takeover of Comcast. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Traffic makes us crazy.
Drive carefully.
But Darren Copeland makes the ride home just a bit easier. Keep up with the latest traffic info afternoons during the Doug Kellett Show on AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:40 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. This is the Friday the 13th edition, also the Valentine's Day edition. And tomorrow is the big day. In honor of that, we thought we'd have maybe another Eugene Delbecq moment. And with us, Manny Eisler from the Diamond Cabaret Club. And with him, an entertainer who calls herself Dana. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk right into the microphone. Manny, let me ask you some questions about the Diamond Cabaret. They have come over here. Now, this is, if you have ideas about the Diamond Cabaret, they're going to be restructured here because they brought over a wonderful dish made by your chef there. It is a restaurant, and what we have here, and you're going to have to use your imagination. We did have oysters with caviar, and these were Malpec oysters with Ocetric caviar, which we've all scarfed down. There's shrimp cocktail. There's pepper seared tuna. Is that like an ahi tuna, maybe?
Yes.
With orange reduction. There is still some scallop ceviche, goat cheese salad with walnuts and mango. What's the say?
It's a mango with vinaigrette.
Vinaigrette, okay, mango vinaigrette. And it looks lovely. And when you think of a Diamond Cabaret, I don't think you're thinking of food of this caliber. So tell us about the Diamond Cabaret, because Eugene Delbecq got into a certain amount of trouble over it. What goes on there?
And we've been members of the convention, the city, Visitors Bureau, for 13
exactly
years.
Exactly right, which was my point. It's a legitimate business, two steps away from the convention center. People coming into town, that's one of their first stops. Tell us what we can expect when we walk in and we have a Diamond Cabaret experience.
Well, it's a great question. And, again, thanks for having us on this afternoon. And happy Friday the 13th to you as well.
Thank you.
One thing we forgot on the table here is a USDA Prime Tenderloin. And it's awesome. So you may want to take a little nosh of that, too. We started 13 years ago, Enid, and the whole purpose of opening the club was to break down any stereotypes. So we don't consider ourselves a strip joint. All those things were from the past. We wanted to make a state-of-the-art club that has entertainment, that also has a fantastic steakhouse, and it's now become, with the addition of tons of women coming in as well, an entertainment venue.
All right, we go in. Let's see. What happens when you walk in the door? What does it look like? What are your choices? You order something to eat. Is entertainment going on? What kind of entertainment is going on? Is your clientele roughly half men, half women, mostly men, some women? What would you say?
Well, when they first come in, they're going to be greeted by a beautiful woman at the front door, and she's going to welcome them. And it's a very large club, but it's very intimate at the same time. There's seating areas with couches. There's lights as far as the entertainment. They are topless, but it's very tasteful. We like to have our entertainers, and Dana will tell you for herself.
Is Miss Piggy in there and Janet Jackson, too? Miss Piggy is going topless lately to revive her career.
Well, I haven't.
When you walk in the door, are you greeted by a topless person?
No. Oh. But you are kept abreast of what's being served
so to
that
speak.
Night.
Yes. Yes.
But the girls are in gowns, and it's very elegant, and there's a lot of energy and fun. And for those people that want to have dinner, the restaurant is accessible through the front.
In other words, you won't avail yourself of the entertainment, or you will.
No, you will see it from a distance.
Yeah,
but the restaurant is far more subdued, and the restaurant is connected with the Diamond by a long plate glass window. So within the restaurant, you can see the cabaret action going on, all the lights and the girls, and then the restaurant is a little more subdued.
Dana, are you part of the cabaret action?
Oh yes, I am.
You're an entertainer. Tell me what that consists. What do you do as an entertainer? Talk right into the microphone.
Well, we just, besides our entertaining with the dancing, we sit and verbally talk with people.
Okay. But the dancing is, you're a dancer?
We do dance, yes.
Are you dancing topless?
Yes.
Okay. And what's your costume consist of?
It's an evening gown.
With no top?
No, with a top.
With a top. Oh, and then
we only take it off when we dance.
So you're stripping, actually. You're starting out clothed, and then you're doing a strip.
Yes.
What do you strip down to? What's left?
G-string.
Just a G-string.
Which is very common now. Everybody's wearing them.
And it's state law.
It's a state law. You can't take it all off.
No.
Not if you have
alcohol.
Do you have to have pasties? What does the state law say?
The pasties goes back to, there haven't been pasties in Denver since the early 70s.
So you can strip completely nude, waist up, but you have to have a G-string on if alcohol. If you're doing a juice bar, you can strip completely?
Is that correct? That's correct.
All right, so you've got alcohol, you do a routine, and then what happens after? And how long does the show go for?
3 songs, that could be 9, 12 minutes.
And then you go and mingle with the customers?
Yes.
You talk to them verbally? I didn't know there was any other way.
I didn't know there was any other way
of talking to them, but I like that. All right, so you're talking to them verbally.
We entertain them verbally.
And what might that consist of?
Anywhere. You just got right to really got to read the customers. Maybe they just want to sit and laugh and have jokes. And
right. Do you say things that are a little bit naughty sometimes to the customers?
If they like, yes.
And in order for the customer to arrange that, is there a charge for that in advance, or is that something where they stuff money in? Are you doing this while you're in your G-string?
No.
Are you back? What are you wearing
your
now?
Clothes,
you're back.
Sometimes they invite you to come over and sit with them, have a drink, conversate.
So now you're back in your evening gown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how do they invite you to do this? You're up there entertaining, and how do they get the word to you that you're the one they've chosen for this?
Well, sometimes they approach us, and they invite us to come sit at their table, buy us a drink, and sit and talk. Or other times they don't know they want to talk to us, so we go out there and seek them out and start talking to them.
So you're talking to them, and is there a charge for this, or is it the idea to move some booze here?
To move some what?
Booze, liquor.
No.
We want to keep them entertained, so of course they're going to stay. So they might have dinner, they might have another drink.
So they're
it's a fun
stay
party
along.
Atmosphere.
But is there an additional charge that they have to pay if they want to talk to you? Not a formal charge, or are they just going to tip you, perhaps?
A lot of them just tip us.
So you're going in and you're circulating. What would you say the proportion, Manny, of your clientele is men to women?
I'd say right now it's probably 80 to 20.
80 men, 20% women.
And we're definitely seeing a trend.
Do you ever have, like Chippendales, do you ever have men performing? So the women come in for showers and parties and stuff. You don't, because why? There's not enough of a market for it?
It would change our concept. But what we're seeing more and more of is that we're seeing sometimes Friday and Saturday nights seated. Tons of women will come in, and it could be a bachelorette party, and they like the sensuality, and they love it. And I don't think you would have the same sensuality with men topless, especially if you're talking about a big muscle man. The Diamond is all about
sensuality.
Well, not
topless, but completely nude. I think jumping out of a Caker's.
It went through it for me.
Jumping out of a Viagra bottle.
Exactly.
How many girls... So it's girls who are doing the entertainment.
Correct.
You have some music.
We have musicians.
Live music.
Well, that's a great question. Typically, wonderful DJs spinning the music.
Uh-huh.
And it's always about energy, and we mix it up. Sometimes we even play some Sinatra, and sometimes we play some different kinds of music. But it's all about activity and energy.
Can you dance?
No.
No dancing.
No.
The customers can't dance, just the girls are dancing.
The girls are dancing, and they do have to be elevated per law a foot above the ground. So that's a throwback to these old Colorado laws.
Why do they have to be, in order to do what, to discourage men dancing with them?
That's Colorado coded.
What was the thinking behind it, do you know?
Probably to create some distance, a safety distance between the customer and the entertainer.
It has to be 1 foot up.
It has to be 1 foot up.
So, from the customer?
From the ground.
I mean,
so
but can the customer get on that platform also?
No.
That's prohibited?
It's prohibited. Strictly, that's what the law is. And so when an entertainer comes over to do a table dance, we call it, we have a little round stage, as needed, that they're a foot above the ground, and that's where they dance. And then,
do entertainers ever fall off of that thing?
In 13 years, once in a while, they'll fall off.
So. How many girls are there? Do you have on staff?
We have over 100 right now.
And don't you have house mothers there? Didn't I see a documentary on a house mother who?
Not only do we have a house mommy, we also have makeup people. And so their whole job is to make the girls, they're already beautiful, but they even go 20 notches above that, so they really look spectacular.
Dana, did you know you were going to be doing this? Did you always want to do this, or did it just sort of happen?
No, I did not know I was going to do this.
What did you think you were going to be doing?
Oh, gosh.
How did you know?
Probably nursing RN. I was going for RN. But
And then how did this happen that you became an entertainer topless at the Diamond Cabaret?
Actually, I had a girlfriend that worked there for 6 years, and she encouraged me. I started at age 33.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, I can't believe that. You don't even look like you're 33.
Well, I'm 36 now.
You are?
Yes.
Okay. And you liked it, or the money was good, or some combination of the two?
A combination of the two. It's more for the money, a stepping stone in my life to I provide for my two children and I.
And how many hours a week do you have to work?
I think it's a minimum of 3 days. It's not hours. It's days a week. Yeah.
And how many hours in the day that you have to work? And you're dancing in real high heels?
Real high heels.
Is this hard to do? Is this hard on you?
Once you get used to it now. It is at first, yeah. It's very painful.
And what is the most surprising thing that you found about being an adult entertainer topless dancing? What surprised you that you didn't expect?
I had to take my clothes off now. No, that's
was that hard? Was that hard the first time?
It was extremely hard. It took me 3 months to really feel comfortable.
Really?
Yeah. But so I was surprised that I continued with it. You know, I was so uncomfortable.
When you're going out with somebody, if you're going out with a man, or anybody else, is there any objection to what you do, or is that just taken in stride, or do you not say what you do?
I don't like to say what I do because I like to get them. I like them to get to know me personally before they judge me on what I do for.
Once you get to know somebody and you feel comfortable enough to say what you do for a living, what has the response been? Surprise, intrigue, what else?
Some are surprised, or some are like, "Oh, we're okay with it. We're okay with it," but that lasts about 3 months.
And they're not okay with it.
No, they're not.
It's hard for guys too.
It's jealous. Yeah,
very they're jealous.
You're out there flirting with other men and.
And they don't see it as
money.
Something
like
that you're...
It's just a little acting job. You know, you go to work, you got to act, you got to perform.
Right.
So they don't see it as that. No, they get very jealous.
Who are some of the other women? I mean, what have some of their professions been who are doing the dancing?
We've had teachers. We still have teachers on staff. All walks of life. Mm-hmm. And many of them are highly educated. So there's no stereotype anymore.
What is an average amount that a girl can make doing topless dancing?
I don't even think there's an average anymore. There's a lot of entertainers that make a lot of money and some that don't make a lot of money. It's all about their personality.
What would you give me a ballpark? Throw a ballpark down.
It's really hard to say. I don't know.
I just did a mortgage, and I have to do non-income verification. You go on the internet, and to verify what an average entertainer makes is about $50,000 is what they put on the internet.
An average entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
What the internet says?
That's what the internet puts on. So. That's how I got my mortgage.
Oh, so they were able to,
They can't verify, but they go in and say, okay, the internet's comparing.
But isn't that all kinds of entertainment, stand-up, or is it dancing?
No, in our field.
In your field, okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming that people do far better than that in general.
Can, yes.
You can do it, mm-hmm. depending on how many hours you're willing to work, how hard you're willing to work
yes.
it. Do you get? Do the girls get some sort of percentage of the drinks?
No.
They don't do that?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Manny, what do you like about it? You've been doing this for a long time?
Yes. What I like about it is you get to meet people from all walks of life. And we've had people from very famous celebrities, performers, athletes, and basically you name it, they've been in the club.
What's the toughest part of it? What's the toughest part for you, Dana?
You just encounter a lot of different men. You got to adapt to...
If they say rude things to you, you have to let it roll off your back.
No, we can walk away. We don't have to sit and
take it.
No.
Was that hard in the beginning? Or did you just ignore it?
No, I've always been in a customer relation field service, so no, it wasn't hard. I just walk away. I don't have to put up with it.
What's the hardest thing about doing this work?
Taking her clothes off, yeah.
Really?
Actually, no, it's not hard. You know, I keep it at work, but it's not hard anymore. Really just sitting down trying to... I would say make money. We have ups and downs. One week is great and next week is not. A lot of people think, oh, you know, we make great, a lot of money. But, you know, it's just a lot of ups and downs. You can't expect anything one week to the next.
So it's unpredictable.
Very.
The income stream is
a great analogy, though, what you said, you know, that it's like any other business. It's all customer service driven.
My guest, if you're just tuning in, Manny Eisler from the Diamond Cabaret and an entertainer from the Diamond Cabaret named Dana. What does it cost when you walk in? What can an average evening cost you? What can you expect to spend if you go in?
Well, the price of the door is $10 a person. If people are coming in for dinner, it's free.
What is the $10?
That's the cover charge. They get you
inside
the door.
Do you have to buy drinks? Do you have a minimum or something once you get
in?
We
really don't have minimums, but people come in to have a good time, so they're not going to just come in and stand.
But theoretically, they could do that.
Well, we do, you know, we would like to have one drink, but it never happens that they just stand there. People are coming in. They're coming in with their wives, their girlfriends, their business associates, their prospects for business, and they're there to entertain them.
Okay. And here you are, member of the Convention Bureau. You're just a few steps away from the convention center. It's a legitimate business. People
Absolutely.
Come in. It's going to cost them $10 at the door. What's an average dinner going to run per person?
Average dinner, and again, thanks for the compliments on the food. I'll pass those on.
That's wonderful. Cliff Young is in charge of
the restaurant. He's done a spectacular job.
I think we didn't think of the Diamond Cabaret as having food at this level.
With two consecutive Wine Spectator Awards.
Really?
So we are up there. We have a hole in the wall. Ready for the 2004 Wine Spectator Award, and just every night you ask me, would I get my pleasure on eating it? Every night we have people that leave and they go, this was outstanding.
All right, what's an average dinner going to cost per person?
It depends on the wine. You may want a bottle of very expensive champagne or wine, but the average, I would say you're looking about $100 a person, and that's comparable to any fine dining restaurant in Colorado.
So if you came in for drinks, it would cost you less than that if you decided not to have dinner.
Sure.
So you could go in, if somebody's on a more of a stricter budget, they could come in for
$20, absolutely.
They can have
beer, whatever they like. We sell a lot of Budweiser. We have everything. But if they don't want to have dinner, absolutely, it's fine.
Thank you for joining us today. Manny Eisler from the Diamond Cabaret, entertainer Dana, who's a dancer at the Diamond Cabaret. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Really enlightening. I've enjoyed it. Maybe I'll have to come in one day. I've never been there.
Please, you'll be our guest.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Definitely try it.
Huh?
Definitely.
Try
yes,
it. I'll like
definitely.
It?
Definitely.
All right. Well, we'll have to go on a research expedition. I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening to the AM 1150 KNRC, the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live right here on AM 1150.
Tell your friends about Denver's best kept secret. Talk radio where you can hear both sides throughout the day. AM 1150 KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony and the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Experience a different side to the Colorado Symphony Orchestra with Dracula, Frankenstein on February 18th, and get your chance to play a theremin. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. To get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life. Avs fans, watch the NHL on ABC Saturday at 1. It's the most ferocious rivalry in sports. The Detroit Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche face off. NHL's top rivals, only on ABC Saturday at 1.
Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett, hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. And now, of the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Here I am. I'm back at the press club with John Enslin, who put the show together. We have just about 2 seconds. John, I want to thank you. You did a fabulous job putting the show together.
You're very welcome, Enid.
President of the Denver Press Club and reporter for the Rocky Mountain News. And I have a number of other people that I want to thank. I want to thank Joe Anderson, who did a terrific job keeping us together today. Also, Steve, who did a wonderful job. Jordan and Sean, thank you all. Next week, we're going to be joined by Richard Florida, the Rise of the Creative Class. I hope you have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Doug Kellett is up next. Do something generous, will you? Try to leave a world a better place than you found it. And since tomorrow is Valentine's Day, why don't you practice love in all of its myriad forms? Practice a random act of kindness. I'll try myself. I'll see you Monday, noon to 3, on AM 1150 KNRC, Enid Live. See you Monday.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon, partly cloudy, 43 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by KFC. A truck carrying porta-potties rolled over on I-225 north of Mississippi this afternoon. That accident has shut down the northbound lanes of the highway while crews clean up the mess. Traffic is being diverted to Mississippi and then to the frontage road. Aurora Police spokesman Rudy Herrera says it's not known why the truck rolled over. Only minor injuries have been reported in that accident. A man fell through the ice at Josh's Pond at Lockamora Park in Broomfield today and was in the water for at least 20 minutes. North Metro Fire spokeswoman Wendy Krajewski says crews initially responded to a call of a dog in the water at that park.
They were in the process of actually pulling the dog out of the water when a witness actually indicated that he believed an owner of the pet had actually fallen through the ice as well. Firefighters were able to locate a male and drag him to the shore.
Krajewski says it's still not known for sure how the man ended up under the ice.
This area that we are located in is an open space area with a pond around it. It's hard to say if the dog wandered out independently and the owner chased it or what exactly happened in this instance.
Krajewski says it's important to remember in Colorado the ice is rarely